Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday. It's December 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, 11 people were arrested Wednesday after a massive drug bust in Bucks County. Authorities said they recovered what they believed to be more than 100 pounds of heroin and fentanyl, a loaded handgun, and at least $30,000 in cash at a Warminster home. Local police, along with FBI agents, several of whom were wearing hazmat suits, meticulously removed item after item from a home in the 600 block of Cheryl Drive late Tuesday night into early Wednesday morning.
Yeah, you have to be careful with the fentanyl, especially because, I mean, that stuff, I'm sure the people that went in there, did you say hazmat?
Yep, they were in hazmat suits. Yeah, if you touch it, it's going to be into your system.
That's dangerous stuff, man. And they're working on it in a house like that, a small house.
We found thousands of individual packages of heroin containing these stamps, along with another container full of bundles of heroin already packaged for sale, said Bucks County District Attorney Matt Weintraub. Weintraub said the ringleaders were 42-year-old Moses Rodriguez and 28-year-old Daniel Vasquez. So listen to this. Over the past several months, this operation was distributing heroin and fentanyl across the region at a rate of approximately $8 million a week in street value.
$8 million a week. When I heard that number this morning, my head nearly exploded. Well, but you know what they did talk about, Kathy? They believe the Christmas decorations on the front lawn were part of a deflection. It was supposed to look like regular house.
I was talking last night about it, and I had said yesterday, when I see the Christmas lights, like, it makes me sad because there's probably kids in there. They do have kids, and they probably still care about their kids. And you were pressing. You were like, no, that's a front. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, they're those poor kids. No, there were 11 adults with 10 working stations inside that house. And there are no kids there.
Again, $8 million a week.
Yeah, it was a big operation.
That was a huge... And you know what? They were making a big deal about it yesterday, but they weren't releasing the details yet. So I'm like, this is... More is going to come out. Like, what? It's just this home in Warminster,
As you led with, a major operation.
So according to Weintraub, the break in the case came from an anonymous concerned neighbor. Neighbors said that the people living at the home were renters and moved in less than a year ago. And for whatever reason, there was, some neighbors anonymously came forward and said some things. But I saw on ABC this morning, they talked to other neighbors who said they were nice. They waved. They said hi.
Like, well, they set up their Christmas decorations. Can't wait for the holidays now that we're making $8 million a week.
Well, listen, with the decorations, they were probably smart. They probably said, look. If neighbors wave back, act like we're,
Well, yeah, they've got $8 million worth of heroin in the house a week.
Don't blow it.
Everybody be nice.
Hey, look, I made you some brownies.
Even if they park in front of our house and take up our parking spots, be nice about it.
Well, listen, you often hear about people with pounds of drugs in their car, and they go 80 miles an hour, over the speed limit. They're stupid. These people were actually being smart about it. I mean, they're...
Christmas decorations.
And speaking of the parking, that was one of the issues. They said that they would back their car into the garage, and it was a garage that didn't fit a car. So they would, try to squeeze their car in, and I guess shut the garage door, and I don't know if they're unloading or whatever they were doing.
Sure. With this amount of people there, I guess they couldn't all be parking in front of the house. It would look like a convention all the time.
Right, probably
not. They'd park around the neighborhood.
Probably had shifts.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll see you. See you tomorrow, Lou.
Yeah.
There were 10 working stations in there. When I heard that, I was like, oh, my God.
That's
like,
a sophisticated
operation. Do we even have
10
working stations
here?
No, we don't.
So Governor Tom Wolf has declared this Get Help Now week. Dozens of Narcan will be available for free this week at 80 designated locations. So they're saying on the heels of something like this, officials are saying this is why things like this are needed.
You know what? Makes a great Christmas gift.
And also, the other thing is there's also tons of other operations going on in and around the city that are just like this.
Sure.
And if you're one of those operations... be careful, because now you have all this whole this task force that's been working on this case are now free to work on other cases.
Yes, they are.
So move your drug house somewhere else. The anti-overdose medication will be available with no ID and no appointment. The Warminster drug bust was a disturbing wake-up call that these dangerous drugs are not just limited to city locations. They are everywhere, including a quiet suburban city.
So at this point, if I have an $8 million a week drug house, I'm going to change my Christmas decorations to Hanukkah decorations just to break away from the pack.
$8 million a week. Oh, my God. Good Lord. A 19-year-old volunteer firefighter is charged with starting two fires at homes, and police in western Pennsylvania allege that he did it because he was bored.
Huh.
Munhall police charged Ryan Laubham with five counts of arson and related charges following a porch fire early Monday. Police said responding firefighters were told by a neighbor that someone had also tried to set their porch on fire last week. Allegheny County Fire investigators said both blazes were set intentionally. Police alleged that the security video showed the suspect entering the fire station and a home. They later determined that it was this guy.
Preston, you saw the movie Endless Love.
I did.
Maybe that's what this is about.
It might be a just trying to get some attention.
It could be.
And he's in love with the daughter.
And sets the house on fire.
Well, remember there in I think it was out in Coatesville. It was a firefight. Remember all those
fires that were being set? It was a firefighter. And yeah, not it happens occasionally where they want to be a hero, and so they start a fire and arrive at the scene. Yep.
Unfortunately, it's like a story for the ages where you go through all this training and maybe your fire company isn't busy and you're just like, well, let's just, you know, see what happens.
You heard about it when you were, stuff like this, when you were...
I mean, we had classes, like, warning us.
They would tell you,
I went through some of that training in long, long time ago, and they said, you know, don't do it.
I have no doubt,
No kidding.
Yeah.
Laubham is being held in the Allegheny County Jail in lieu of $200,000 bail. Del Monte Foods announced Wednesday a limited recall on their canned Fiesta corn seasoned with red and green peppers in 25 states due to underprocessing. The deviations were part of a commercial sterilization process that could result in contamination by spoilage organisms or pathogens, which could lead to life-threatening illness if consumed. It's important to note that there have been no reports of illnesses associated with the products to date, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said.
We've had a conga list of healthy foods that are now not good for you. Casey, your time is coming.
Yes.
There was not necessarily healthy, but they had a big Jimmy Dean sausage recall the other day.
Did they? Oh, wow. I didn't see that one.
They're metal. They found some metal in some of the sausages.
Sausage is so metal.
Yeah, so metal, you rock your face off.
Well, this is under processing. The company said the affected products are the 15.25-ounce cans, and it has a UPC number 24000-02770 printed on the label.
A little bit slower. I'm looking at my labels right now. 000.
Well, I think, you know what, I always look first at the if the use-by date, and if it matches that, then I'll look at the UPC number. So the best if used-by dates that are stamped on the bottom of the can are August 14, 15, 16, September 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and then September 22nd and 23rd, all the year 2021. The products were shipped to a variety of retailers in 25 states. The states involved include Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, along with 21 other states. If you have purchased the recalled corn, you can return it to the place of purchase for a full refund. And if you have any questions about the recall, you can contact Del Monte Foods at their toll-free hotline number, or you can go to the company's website. In sports this morning. The Eagles are concerned that quarterback Carson Wentz won't play on Sunday against Los Angeles Rams because of a back injury.
What the f*** is this?
And have told Nick Foles to be ready to play. Eagles coach Doug Peterson said Wentz sat out of practice with back soreness and tightness and would not commit to Wentz playing on Sunday. It was 1 year ago Monday that Wentz tore the ACL and LCL in his left knee against the Rams. The main storyline heading into the week was Wentz's return to the LA Coliseum for the first time since the injury for a rematch against Jared Goff, who went first overall in the 2016 NFL draft, one spot ahead of Wentz. The Sixers lost to the Brooklyn Nets last night in South Philly, 127-124. The loss was just the Sixers' second defeat at home this season and drops them to 19-10 overall. Joel Embiid had 33 points and 17 rebounds. Jimmy Butler didn't play because he's recovering from a strained groin. The homestand wraps up tomorrow night with a game against the Indiana Pacers. Tip-off is set for 7:30. The Flyers lost to the Flames last night in Calgary, 6-5. The Flyers were 80 seconds away from taking 2 points out of Calgary, clinging to a 5-3 lead. Calgary's Rasmus Anderson Anderson scored his first NHL goal on a shot from the point that Anthony Stolarz never saw. Even after that, it appeared the Flyers might survive as they cleared their zone with roughly 18 seconds remaining in the game, only to sit back and watch Calgary's top line pull off a Hail Mary with Sean Monahan scoring with 7 seconds remaining. Then, 35 seconds into overtime, Calgary scored the game winner, finishing off a shocking 6-5 loss for the Flyers. The road trip continues tomorrow night with a game in Edmonton against the Oilers. The puck drops at 9 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. For a little while
The clock
longer.
Is ticking.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So, Nick McElwain out today. Strep throat.
Yeah.
So we said, stay home, dude.
Away.
He feels fine. But
he's like, well, I'll see how I feel. I don't care how you feel.
No.
You stay home.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
So
he's out. So Marissa in the studio again today. So thanks for being here, Marissa.
I think that's 48 hours, right, on antibiotics for
Something
strep?
Like that.
Yeah. Well, he went to Mike, Dr. Mike. And obviously, you know, you can't get better care than that. And you just don't want to risk it. We can't risk it, for God's sake.
Yeah, I think it's the 48 hours.
First trimester.
Yeah. No, where he would be contagious to us. So. Let him stay home for 48 hours and get the meds in.
And I feel like if you're just more susceptible to get it if you've already gotten it. Like,
oh sure,
my son had strep throat leading up to the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yes,
you know, we're in very, very, very close proximity, hugs and kisses and all that sort of stuff.
No, you want to stay away.
I got nothing.
Especially
since
you run down. We're tired at the end of the, you know, after the camp out, and we're planning for the next. The Christmas miracle thing.
Yeah, no, but you're saying you stay away, but I didn't stay away. I can't
you
stay
should've.
Away. I should have, but I, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where I don't think I'm susceptible to it, so.
I get it every year. Somehow I avoided it this year at camp out. I usually get it the week after camp out. Dr. Mike gives me a different medicine every year to kind of, like, get my body used to something else. Oh, it's a pain in the butt.
Here's a stat. It says most antibiotic treatments are for about 10 days, but kids usually feel better a day or two afterwards. Once they've been on the drugs for about 24 hours, they're no longer contagious and can go back to
24.
School.
Yeah, kids.
Nick can go back to school.
Just not here. He just Just down here.
Yeah, you go to any school you want. Just stay away from here.
So, anywho, we have some stuff planned for today. We're going to have an early morning guest today. And this was kind of last minute. Our old friend Bam Margera is stopping by today.
Yes.
Bam, and he's also bringing by the skateboard sensation Danny Way, who's like a legend. And,
I was just reading about him. Holy hell.
Yeah, and Bam is having a gigantic house party in Westchester at the castle. At his
Castle Bam?
His property. And it's today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can go.
Right.
Like anybody. So he's going to give us the details about what's going on. I think it starts fairly early today, like noon or 1 o'clock. Yeah. So,
and there's a couple of really cool elements besides that.
Yeah. So we'll have him in to give us the specifics on what the party is all about today. So
how long has it been since we've seen Bam in studio?
A couple of years, So that'll be cool. So he's going to be stopping by. What time is he going to be popping on?
He left his house about 25 minutes ago.
We should be here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know, right?
We'll have for the first content break.
Well, we'll see. So, anyhow, it should be kind of interesting, and you might be able to be a part of this event that he has going on today. So we'll get the details from Bam. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get the stupid question, do some giveaways, and entertainment report. That's coming up first and foremost. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to hannahstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to do a stupid question. I'm going to change things up a little bit. I'm going to ask a question about our show, something that happened late in the show on Tuesday. So here's the question. According to Robin Lee, what does A stand for? 215-263-WMMR. Robin Lee was filling in for Pierre Robert on Tuesday. She gave us the letter of the day. It was A. And what did she say it stood for? A as in 215-263-WMMR. You had to have been listening in order to know the answer to this one, so let's see if you can get it right. It's almost like a lesson question, but in reverse.
It is.
So we'll take the callers and see if you can get the answer, and the correct answer will get a $50 Star Restaurants gift card. So give us a buzz. Birthdays today. It is Thursday, December 13th, and we have a birthday amongst one of the players that will be performing at the MMRBQ 2019.
Wow.
We made the announcements, and it is a very happy birthday to the lovely singer of Evanescence, Amy Lee. And Amy Lee turns 37 years old. I personally have not gotten tired of this song.
No.
There's the harmonies in it are great. Yeah. She harmonizes with herself, but I love what she does.
Well, her voice is so powerful.
Yep.
I traditionally love strong rock chicks.
Me too. Big time.
Yeah. So,
like chicks that can bench over 250.
Yeah, you bet your ass.
Something like that.
Squat 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're, all right, so but you have, like, let's say Lizzie Hale, right? So you have these rock chicks that have completely different voices and approaches to and approaches to rock music. You know, like Lizzie Hale's like in your face.
She's
like
a screamer.
Yeah, and a screamer. And for some reason, this, the way, like, because her voice is like angelic. And it still works in the rock realm.
That's a good description, actually, Case. Yeah, so.
There's screamers, there's squirters. It's a whole
screamers
oh
and squirters.
Oh, my God, you're going in a different
Oh, am I? I'm sorry. Oh, they're talking vocally. I'm so stupid.
Yeah, she's a real squirter.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Amy Lee. She's 37 today.
Jesus. That's the essence.
God, I want
we are a little, we're horrible people is what we are. Kathy is the angel. Kathy and Marissa, our best shot at getting into heaven.
Tom DeLonge, the former guitarist and singer of Blink 182 now, and Angels and Airwaves, he is celebrating his 43rd birthday today, and he is heavily into the science of extraterrestrials and
paranormal.
So
and in fact, there's a series you announced at the Music News.
Yeah,
that it's an animated series,
correct.
Is it not?
Yeah, based on the books that he's written.
Yeah.
So he's 43 today, so happy birthday to him. Hey, it's Taylor Swift's birthday today.
Tay-Tay!
This is the last year for Tay-Tay to be in her 20s.
Oh,
so she's growing up, and yeah.
I still love her.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I like her, too. She's, you know, my daughter really fell in love with her, I guess, the last couple albums. I guess it was the Red album and then
Blue album.
Was it Blue?
No. 1989.
Was it 1980? Yeah, it was
The year
she was born. Yeah.
1989, so, the year she was born.
So by default, I listen to all of that, and, you know, you start to sing along with it, and she's
talented.
Talented artist.
It's not my cup of tea musically, but she's very talented.
Yep. So she's...
Stop moving. Come on, everybody.
I know. I'm bouncing. Don't worry. In my
mind, it's gonna be all right.
Shake
it off.
Shake
it off.
Anyway. She's 29 today. Jamie Foxx.
Super talented.
51 years old. And he and supposedly, what's her nuts?
What's her nuts is from Dawson's Creek.
Having a brain fart.
Come on, Katie Holmes.
Supposedly,
Jesus,
not only longtime couple, but rumors
might
that they got married at some point.
I don't know what the big secret is about. They clearly are an item.
Yeah.
So, however they want to play it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Won an Oscar for playing Ray Charles. She did, not him.
No, he did.
Because it was such a departure.
And I'm about ready. I need to. So my sons, I have slowly been turning on to Quentin Tarantino. We watched Inglourious Basterds, and I think the next one is Django Unchained that we're going to sit down and watch.
When are you going to end up at Pulp Fiction?
I think I'm saving it for last.
All right,
And we probably won't go to Reservoir Dogs. I don't know if they'd be into that or not. But the biggies, I think I want them to get the feel of the of his style, and then we'll go on to Pulp Fiction.
You know what might be interesting for you is to see the Korean movie called City on Fire. That's Reservoir Dogs. That's okay. Quentin Tarantino basically remade it. It's an interesting thing to see where it came from, and it's a solid movie.
It's funny, Press, because I am a little bit jealous that you're at that point in your life with your kids where you can do that. My son was asking me yesterday. At first, he started, "What's your favorite cartoon characters of all time?" And he goes, "No." Favorite movie characters of all time, and I threw in a couple of Tarantino characters. And I'm like, man, probably the wolf. I like the wolf from Pulp Fiction. Yeah. I love that guy. And then there was another one from a Tarantino flick. I can't remember just off the top of my head. I'm like, these they don't mean anything to you right
Not
now.
Yet. Well, you gave an honest answer.
I did.
Jimmy Fox, 51 today. Steve Buscemi,
yes,
been in some Tarantino movies before, hasn't he?
He's Mr. Pink.
Yeah,
he
that's
is.
Right.
The Reservoir Dogs. Also a volunteer firefighter.
Mm-hmm. And
the Sandler films are hilarious when he pops up in the Sandler stuff.
He's 61 today. Wendy Malick, actress, Just Shoot Me, among other things. She's 68. The great Christopher Plummer.
Ah.
Going back to the Sound of Music.
Christopher Plummer.
Goes back to The Sound of Music and still, you know, is acting to this day. The Beautiful Mind, The Insider, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I just have never seen, from beginning to end, The Sound of Music. And I don't know, will I lose it, Steve?
Will you, like, brandish a firearm?
No. I mean, is it lost?
Is it outdated?
No.
It's I think I'm Preston and I are in the same camp on this. We freaking love that movie.
Yeah.
So
there's some stuff that you might seem as a little silly, but
a lot of musicals have stuff that's a little silly.
Sure. Yeah. So he's 89.
There's Nazis in it. It's cool.
And then the great Dick Van Dyke celebrates his birthday today. Dick Van Dyke is 93. I want to be that guy when I'm 93 years
super
old.
Super talented, man. Super nice, and he is in the Mary Poppins movie. And one or two others. Maida Julie Andrews did not agree. She did not want to taint the new production and have it distract. So, and I got that.
Yeah. But he's so great. What a talent. Celebrating his 93rd birthday. Yeah, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Harry Balzac.
And look how we bothered it. Harry Balzac.
I love Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I do.
They always do like a video this time every year. Remember last year they like all the penguins came out and sang for him or something? Dick Van Dyke?
I
don't remember.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Disney World. I'm going to find
it. At Disney World.
Are you thinking of Two Girls in a Cup?
Yeah, yeah.
When you said they, I wasn't sure who you meant. So Dick Van Dyke is 93 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. According to Robin Lee, who is filling in for Pierre and gave us a letter of the day on Tuesday, what does A stand for? And I will go to Ralph. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, bitch.
Hey,
bitch. What's up, bitch?
Ralph, what does A stand for?
Was it bear?
Bear, yes. Hang on a second. A as in bear.
It didn't, there was no, like, sometimes Pierre's, you're like, okay, like, all right, that was just. Oh way out.
Well, and her logic, by the way, in classic Robin logic, is that in either version of the word bear, the letter A is in
it. A is in it.
A as in, it's within. I'd probably say A as within the word.
Bear.
That was so funny.
I saw her husband. I was like, did you hear? He's like, oh, I heard. And for someone who does not listen to our show from beginning to end every day like we are, she also thought that the letters go out of order. Remember a couple weeks ago?
We had her in
so
as well. So
we give out a letter at the end of the day and they make up a word at the end of the week.
Yep. And we love Robin.
we love Robin.
We're going to give Ralph a $50 Star Restaurants gift card. Light up their holiday with gift cards from Star Restaurants and a redeemable of 37 Star locations. It's a gift that everyone can enjoy. Hey, you guys, my brothers in Union are happy to hear that yesterday the Screen Actors Guild announced their nominations for 25th Annual SAG Awards. That means we get a bunch of free movies.
Yes, we get screeners.
We get screener copies because we are members of the Screen Actors Guild.
How laughable is that?
And a lot of times we get them while they're still in the theaters or just as they are being released, because sometimes they do it that way. The film nominations, A Star is Born leads with 4.
I'm going to want to see that.
Including Best Ensemble, Best Actor for Bradley Cooper, Best Actress for Lady Gaga, and Best Supporting Actor for Sam Elliott as well. Black Klansman and The Favorite nipped at Star's heels with 3 nominations each.
Saw Black Klansman. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, excellent. Solid.
Star is Born, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Crazy Rich Asians are all up for outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture at this year's ceremony. That means we're going to get Bohemian Rhapsody.
I saw Crazy Rich. I saw Crazy Rich Asians, and I saw Black Klansman. I have not seen the others.
Oh.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Ozark lead the four SAG Award nominations apiece, with four SAG Awards nominations apiece on the TV side, followed by Barry, Glow, The Handmaid's Tale, and The Kominsky Method with three nods each.
And we'll get those series as well?
Yes. They usually get some of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. It's funny because Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is, about Mrs. Maisel who finds her way
who
finds her way onto the stage as a stand-up comedian. And it's those moments that I least that I like least about the show.
I agree. But she's becoming a female stand-up comedian at a time that's not embracing of that.
That's correct.
And so she's sort of like a Joan Rivers type at early on in the career, and that's the whole conceit of the
really
show.
I really want to watch that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited for that one. And Ozark is on that list. I love that. Does anybody, Case, you watch it?
I do. So that's another one.
You may loist at the leak.
I was just wondering if there was, are we getting another season soon?
I have not finished it because I didn't want to finish it yet. Because
it was that good?
Yeah, well, I like it a lot. I leak it a lot. And so I do that sometimes where I'm like, all right, I'm going to hang on to the list.
You slow down your rhythm so you don't shoot your works too quickly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have to watch. I've watched the first episode, but I've got to finish watching it. I've spent many a years at Lake of the Ozarks.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw the video of your kids Your kids jumping off the cliff there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife's parents have a house there. So anyhow, Megan Mullally will host the 2019 Screen Actors Guild Awards on January 27th at the Shrine Auditorium and Expo Hall in Los Angeles. She follows in Kristen Bell's footsteps. She was the first ever host of the annual show, by the way. It's going to be on TBS and TNT Sunday, January 27th.
Did you get your votes in last time?
No.
Yeah, I actually did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Aww. Okay.
Miraculously.
And
I was way off on everything.
All right, what else do I have for you? Did you guys see Ellen DeGeneres is talking about maybe wrapping up the Ellen DeGeneres show?
Yes.
In an interview published in the New York Times Wednesday, the 60-year-old confessed that the show can't go on forever. While she did extend her contract through 2020, she says that she seriously considering quitting. Now, it might just be
contract.
a thing going out there for contracts, yeah. She says it might be, she may have wanted to quit earlier. And, her brother, Vance DeGeneres, told her, quote, "In the age of Trump, the country needs her positive, unifying voice on television every day." So she stuck with it, apparently. But
how long has she been on?
She's been on since 2006, I think.
And was that before Oprah retired?
She got into entertainment after she heard our show.
Well, stop it. But I know she kind of took over that, when Oprah left, but I can't remember.
There was a transitional point. There was a crisscross,
right? Okay.
A brief point, but Oprah had already announced she was leaving.
Okay.
But I can't believe it's been almost 15 years that show's been on.
You know what happened recently is that Portia, her wife, presented her with a wildlife hospital, I guess, like for gorillas.
Do they kind of want to focus on that?
And so she's really passionate about this thing and raising money for endangered species in Africa. And the word is, again, this could all be a contract thing. We don't know. But if it's that's something that's really caught her fancy, and she may want to participate more in that than she is currently.
Well, the word is that Portia wants her to quit. Ellen revealed,
she has gorillas at home, Preston.
Or DeRossi said, "I just think she's such a brilliant actress in stand-up that it doesn't have to be this talk show for her creativity. There are other things that she could tackle."
Don't play that's Yoko. Like, don't be the Yoko.
That's like when my mom said, "So, like, what do you think you'll do after that radio show?"
She also said that putting tomato slices on your butt will stop anal cancer.
She did it for 8 years while Oprah was on.
No kidding.
Yeah, Oprah didn't until 2011.
So when did her show start then? Am I off on that?
Nah.
2003. Yeah, it was.
No,
way
check
off on
check
that.
When check when Oprah's ABC show ended.
That's what I think this is.
Is it?
Yeah. Or when? No, I'm sorry.
That seems a little long.
No.
No. When did Ellen's show start, Marissa?
Ellen's show started September 2003.
All right, it did start 2003. Another surprising motivation for her possible exit is the nonstop burden of being nice, which everyone expects. She said, "There's been some times When someone wants a picture and while I'm doing a selfie, they're like, you're not dancing. And I say, of course I'm not dancing. I'm walking down the street.
I saw her. She has her moments. There's a video that's out there. You can find it of her punching a Make-A-Wish kid.
Yes.
No. Stop it.
Right, he didn't even see it coming, man.
Yeah.
Does she?
I'm next in line for this ride.
Does she still dance at the beginning of every show?
Yeah. I don't watch it every day. I you know, my most exposure to the Ellen DeGeneres show comes through viral videos. So okay. I never
ought to know. You're the one that was freaking out at the beginning.
Listen, I love her, but that's right around.
But I can't stand
it. No, it's pickup time from school, so I don't get to watch. I'll either catch the beginning of it or I catch the end of it.
Kathy wouldn't have that issue with military school.
No, you're right. But you know what? I will say she does a great job time after time. I think her show is great. I think she's a great host, and she really does a nice job with it.
Celebrities love her, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they absolutely love going on there, and they'll do goofy stuff because they love her so much.
Yeah,
Rosie used to have that super nice thing, but that went away, and then the stars started to get pissed off at her because they'd show up on the show, and then invariably they'd end up with rib sauce on them.
Well, and you know what? Like, the goofy stuff that Ellen does, I think it works because she kind of participates in it, and she gets such a like
she loves it.
Yeah, like she's not trying to embarrass somebody; like she's just laughing along with them.
Yep. So we'll see what the future holds. Ahead of his Saturday Night Live hosting gig, Oscar-winning Matt Damon grabbed dinner with his BFF Ben Affleck's ex, Lindsay Shookus.
Matt Damon.
The 38-year-old
Matt Damon
serves as a producer on SNL, which is where she met Affleck. The 48-year-old Damon will host the Christmas episode this week.
Matt Damon.
Miley Cyrus is set to perform.
So guess what she's doing, Miley Cyrus?
She's going to do Black Mirror.
She's
doing an episode of Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, yes, but she's also going to perform War Is Over with Sean Lennon.
Saturday
night. Yes.
On SNL?
On SNL.
Interesting. Shookus and Affleck broke up after a year together in August, shortly before he entered rehab for the third time. Kylie Jenner is going from lips to lashes. She has filed to register.
You go, girlfriend.
A trademark for, now, I don't know if it's supposed to be pronounced Kylash.
Yeah, that's of course. Yeah.
Is that it?
If I was a betting man, Kylash.
Okay. I think Clash would be better.
No.
It's already a word, K-L-A-S-H. But according to the Blash, she plans.
It's Kylash or nothing. That's my little girl. All right now. Mommy's little girl.
She plans to make mascara, artificial lashes, tints, and eyelash serums.
You know, sadly, though, the one thing she can't create? Talent.
What are eyelash serums?
It's like maple syrup and stuff. Mostly what you see at IHOP.
Serum.
My guess is it's stuff that you like put on your lashes to make them grow.
Oh, yes.
Like Latisse and things like that. So you put it on overnight.
In layman's terms, it's a scam.
Oh, no. Yeah,
totally. It makes them grow faster. Guys would be slathering that all over their bald foreheads. Mm-hmm. Out of the case.
Forget that. It'd be on my junk.
A friend of mine did one of those. I guess it was like a serum or something where you put on and she did it on the eyebrow, not the eyelashes, and it literally, like, her entire eyebrow is gone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was supposed to help make more follicles grow, more hair grow. Her eyebrow is gone.
Is this the eyebrow king?
Yeah, right.
I have an emergency.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he does fine. He doesn't make my eyebrows fall off.
So anyhow, she's going to be starting at Kylash, I guess is what it's called.
Kylash.
Steve Carell had a brush with death recently when a fan accidentally hit him on his bike with their car. The 56-year-old made the revelation on The Ellen DeGeneres Show. He said, I was riding a pretty fast road. I made a turn, and I didn't see the car behind me, and they hit me from behind. So I went up over the handlebars, and he was shocked after getting hit, and so was the fan. He said, the woman who was driving the car jumped out. She was distraught, obviously, and I went over to her, and my bike was sort of stuck under the front of her bike, and she kept saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, it's Steve Carell. And he joked she was so excited that she hit me. And so it was really kind of a fun experience, a fun fan encounter. So.
His new movie looks really good, the Robert Zemeckis film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks touching.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I have so many different things here. How about this one?
Well, you're batting 1,000.
So thank you.
Pick whatever you want.
How about this? Speaking at the Real Love Relationship Reality TV's Past, Present, and Future event.
What?
In Los Angeles on Tuesday, John Gosling revealed that he is only on speaking terms with two of his 14-year-old sextuplets.
Oh, man. How the hell did that happen? I wonder how much of that is his fault and how much of that is I do not care for his ex-wife.
Yep.
And I never liked her on the show.
Does she know that?
Well, no, because we don't know each other.
Hannah and Colin are the one that he's on speaking terms with. He doesn't speak with his 18-year-old twins either, he revealed.
18 years old now.
The other four aren't talking to me, he said, but they're talking to Hannah, and it's what the kids want to do. If they don't want to talk to me, that's fine, as long as they keep up their sibling connections. He won legal and physical custody of Colin in November, and Hannah lives with him as well.
I would have
Colin,
to.
Colin is currently in treatment for reported mental challenges, and Kate has custody of the other kids.
Hey, listen, judging by what you've seen of her, this is all what you see in the public eye, so there's no really definitive way to know what it is, but I could see her making, telling the kids and working it so that the kids are against him. Yeah.
Sure. I have a friend that's going through something similar, and he's just kind of like over it and is frustrated and doesn't know what to do. And so because that is happening, he's kind of like threw his hands up and isn't quite, doesn't have the same relationship with his kids because of it. And
you hope that will, how old are the kids?
They're a little bit older, like high school age.
Okay.
I think of like the wrestler Preston, the movie where the daughter, there's no. Now he was an F-up, but if you're playing politics within a marriage and you're using the kids as weapons, just cannot work out well.
You hope that they go through this teenage phase and eventually as they grow up as adults and they realize that the relationship is important and then you start to mend, fences and bridges, whatever.
You mend whatever the hell you want.
Mend whatever you need.
Just mend it.
Yeah. Whatever you have the tools for.
Yeah, exactly. This is more of a sports story, but I found this kind of interesting. Golden State Warriors star Stephen Curry said Wednesday he was joking when he said during a recent podcast that astronauts didn't really land on the moon.
I heard podcast. It sounded pretty authentic to me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, he also said that he'll accept an invitation that NASA made for him to tour the lunar lab at the Johnson Space Center after reports circulated about his moon landing denial. He told ESPN yesterday when asked about accepting NASA's invite, he said 1,000%. Obviously, I was joking.
You weren't, Steph. Sorry, kid.
When I was talking on the podcast, and then I was silently protesting how stupid it was that people actually took that quote and made it law as, oh, my God, he's a fake moon landing truther, whatever you want to call it, yada, yada, yada. He said of going to NASA, I'm going to educate myself firsthand on everything that NASA has done and shine a light on their tremendous work over the years. And hopefully people understand that education is powerful. Education is power. Informing yourself is power. For kids out there that hang on every word that we say, which is important, understand that you should not believe something just because somebody says it.
And
you should do your own homework and understand that what you actually believe.
Says he's going out to NASA on his Dragon, Preston.
Yeah. In the initial incident, Curry was on the Ringer's Winging It podcast, or Winging podcast, and during lighthearted conversation, he had said something along the lines of, have we ever been to the moon? After several people said no, Curry answered, they're going to come get us. I don't think so either. Sorry, I don't want to start conspiracies.
What happened was in the podcast, you start to bring up the thing of Stanley Kubrick. That the government hired Stanley Kubrick to fake the moon landing.
Okay.
And that's been a long... People who buy into that stuff are always citing the Stanley Kubrick connection.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they've invited him, and he is going to go check it out firsthand. Bob Saget has known Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen since they were babies. He says they're still close, by the way.
Really?
The 62-year-old told Us Weekly that they still chat on the regular. Said, I love them, and I do feel related. When he was asked if he feels paternal instincts toward the twins, he said, I'm very close emotionally with Ashley and Mary-Kate. Ashley just texted me, and they can't make it tonight. They're working, but they donated some wonderful items from The Row.
He's doing a charity?
And they're always incredibly generous, and I'll see them in L.A. We make a point of seeing each other at least once or twice a year. I assume so. They didn't indicate in this particular story.
It's funny, though. He's been on the show a couple times, and he'll say offhanded things about them because people have always said to him about his connection to him and if there was anything incestuous as a joke, and he always runs with it because if you don't know his act, it's pretty raunchy.
Yeah, yeah. After another year of strong growth in content and viewers, streaming giant Netflix is offering some insight into its data. The Kissing Booth is the most rewatched original movie in its slate, and On My Block is the most binged original show that Netflix has.
Kissing Booth, I'm not familiar with.
No,
have any of you seen it?
No.
No, not familiar with it at all. In fact, there's several things on this list in particular that I don't know.
I also thought it was weird that they weren't giving Marvel love to the Marvel shows, because I know a lot of people who binge those shows, Daredevil and The Punisher and all that stuff.
Yeah, but these are their stats.
Yeah.
So the most binged shows are On My Block, Making a Murderer Part 2, 13 Reasons Why Season 2, Last Chance U Indy, I don't know that, Bodyguard, which I'm going to watch for a second time.
It was great.
How are you?
Yep. Fastest Car, not familiar with that. The Haunting of Hill House, you've been watching that.
Yes, I did watch that.
Anne with an E Season, I don't know what the hell that is. Insatiable.
That's a Marilyn Chambers porn flick.
Yeah, that is, yeah. No, I think that was that the one with Debbie Ryan, where she's chubby and then loses weight or something like that? Remember, there was kind of controversial. Debbie Ryan is...
Sweet Life on Deck. Not Sweet Life.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
Yeah.
There's no chance you're going to watch Last Chance U.
Why?
It's about East Mississippi Community College football players.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm Wait, on board. Did anybody watch the second season of 13 Reasons Why?
No, I watched the first season, though.
Oh, that came out already?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Jasmine watched it. She just pointed to herself. You like it? Thumbs up? Yay, nay? Eh.
She's like, I'm just wondering where they went, because the girl was gone. So
right.
Spring Break with the nerds.
Yeah.
Booger. Right. Everybody was there.
Booger, Lamar.
13 Reasons Why We Did Spring Break with the Nerds.
Yeah, right.
I did watch the second season of Making a Murderer, and I had to stop watching because I was like, this is just weird. I'm like, they're still in jail. Now you're like, you're posturing that perhaps it was these other people.
It didn't do well, and it wasn't watched by a lot of people.
I watched the first two seasons of the first one, first two episodes of the first one, per your suggestion, Case. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, it moves a little slow.
Yeah.
Speaking of being in jail, Orange is the New Black. Like, she was sentenced to, like, 6 to 8 weeks in jail, and she's still in jail.
Season 6, by the way, was also the most binged show on Netflix.
Okay. So. I mean, I'm still watching it. I kind of trailed off on the last season. I didn't finish it. I'd like to, because I do like the show, but I just kind of laughed that she's still in jail.
Yeah, of course. And it's why Lisa Simpson is still the same age she is after 22 years. But they keep it within that context. But Mr. Skin yesterday telling us that Netflix dominates in generating nudity.
Yes. All right. Mystery clips?
No, you have them. You have them.
No, these are these. Okay. But these were old. Sorry, you're correct. In The Mule, Clint Eastwood plays a small business owner who chooses to take one last ride smuggling drugs for the cartel. Here, Clint talks about how other people are looking at this one last ride mentality. And let's hear it. Clint's voice is a little rough these days. Let's hear how he sounds. Here we go.
I never said it was my one last ride, literally. I mean, but as I like playing as a one last ride. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody was quoting me the other day saying, this is your last movie. And I said, really? No. I said, maybe you're wishing that.
No, he sounds good.
He does sound good. And he's at the top of his craft, directing and acting.
The Mule opens in theaters tomorrow, by the way.
I had heard originally he was playing Eeyore, so I'm a little disappointed.
It's not that kind of Mule. All right, next clip. Here we go. Netflix hit pay dirt when they brought back the cast of Full House to reprise their roles for Fuller House. And here actress Candace Cameron Bure talks about playing DJ Tanner for life.
If the audience wanted it and the networks wanted it, I would do it forever. I love her. I love our Fuller House family, and we really are family off screen. So, you know, the more I get to be with them every day, whether it's working or just in everyday life, friendship, I mean, it's incredible.
Shut the f*** up!
Season 4 of Fuller House hits Netflix tomorrow. So
she's attractive, that one.
Yeah, she is.
Listen, I have loved her since, I mean, we're the same age, right?
Yeah.
So one season she came back and I was like, oh my gosh, she's pretty. And
she's blossomed.
And I've loved her ever since.
Why, well, Candace Cameron Bure, you're beautiful.
She was an awkward looking child.
Yeah.
And then something happened and she wasn't awkward anymore.
She lived all the awkward years on television.
Yeah.
It
happens to some kids. That's right.
We did on radio, Preston.
We're still doing it. And there you go. You know what? One last thing. Marissa brought this up. They made the announcement on 6ABC this morning. Vernon Odom is retiring from 6ABC after 42 years as a field reporter.
I love that guy.
He's great.
Old school. Walks around with a legal pad.
When he had his 40th anniversary, we had him call in, and he was hilarious.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, so, man.
We got to get him in the studio.
We should.
Play crack shot.
Well, we had, remember we had Dave Roberts right after he retired.
Yeah.
Came by, so maybe Vernon will stop by and we can hear some of the stories and tales that he's gathered over the years.
The main man, Jim Garner.
Yeah.
He's given us the papal blessing.
Sure, absolutely. Congratulations to Vernon Odom. Love that guy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Bam Margera will be here in a little bit, and he's bringing with him Danny Way. And there is a party that you are invited to.
Yeah, going
to
blow your mind.
At his house
today.
And he's got some interesting surprises. We'll find out the details from Bam and meet Danny in a little bit. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Well, we got a call from a friend who wanted to come in with a very unique event that is taking place. And we said absolutely, and it's been a while since he's been in our studio, but please welcome Mr. Bam Margera.
Yeah!
What up? Hey, Bam, how you doing?
I'm real good, but my mom isn't.
I know. I know. Yeah. So, okay, so April is here, as well as some other people, and April...
I'm Danny Way, legendary skateboarder. He's asked him...
Yes!
Records of highest air and longest air. He jumps out of helicopters. He's a nut. He's my favorite skater. And he had a ramp plan that he wanted to build the perfect bowl. And I said, well, I have a warehouse. Let's infiltrate, destroy, and rebuild it.
Okay. Nice. And that's a part of what's going to go on. But hang on. I got to ask April. You look miserable, April. I mean, you look lovely, but you look angry. You look not happy.
Well... I figure it's kind of like D-Day.
Right.
Normandy.
Okay. So April
gets... Storming of the beach.
Yeah. Explain the specifics here for people who might be in the... So basically what you're doing is you're inviting people over to do the demo work for you, right? And then...
I need teamwork. And you know what? This is the third time I've paid, let's say, $30,000 to take it apart.
Yeah.
And then $40,000 to $50,000 to redo it. And then $30,000 to take it apart. And then I'm like, I'm sick of this. I wanted to build these weird ideas.
Right.
It didn't work out. And I'm like, why can't we just teamwork this and get it all down? Everyone's invited. Bring your screw guns and help.
So this is basically like the Bam Margera version of an Amish barn raising, right? I mean, the whole
the
community.
Amish actually raised
is
my
that
barn.
What you're calling it? Oh, man. Boy, oh, boy. Is that a stretch? Right?
Yeah.
What?
It's your membership fee as well. If you want to come skate, you got to put some time in.
That's the thing, yeah. It's a membership fee, yeah.
That
makes sense. I also have Lemmy from Motorhead's favorite band, Valiant Thor, playing tonight, or actually today. And Beanie Siegel showing up with Freeway.
Wow! Are you kidding?
Maybe Meek Mill. He's getting a hold of him. But Beanie Siegel and Freeway are on lockdown. I already paid him.
So
all right.
This is a big thing. People apparently are already lined up, ready to be a part of this. And what you're going to do is you're going to build what you believe is going to be the ultimate.
This is what Danny Way has in his
Danny,
head.
And Danny, are you the main designer? What he says.
You know, I mean... Bam told me I was in charge, asked me to come out here and take the lead on the design. And,
he told you were in charge. You had no...
He appointed me, the captain of the ship here, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'll take... I got a lot of good ideas. And
all right.
I think, you know...
He's really good at math and transitions. Like, he figured out the mega ramp when you watch the... Is it on the Olympics or X Games
X
now?
X Games.
Yeah, so he figured out the perfect transition for skateboarders to float 80 feet in air.
So, and you rigged up something when you jumped to the Great Wall of China, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all these different ramps have different dimensions, and they're all unique in their own way. But I experiment quite a bit with this stuff, so I think, you know, not to have this an accolade, but I do think I have more, you know, knowledge about building ramps than probably anybody in the skateboard.
Well, it's impressive. It's like when you get like somebody who's you're designing a golf course, and you get someone who you got to have someone who knows what they're doing. And here, this is this can be a bone breaking deal if you haven't designed it properly, as you well know.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same price either way. I mean, like when you make a skate park, you could just make one angle the wrong way, and it's not like it costs any more money to make it the right way. But you know, just those little like details like that add up, and if you get them wrong, it just can blow the whole thing. You know?
All right, so I want to get the details here. Bam, where's your property located? It's in Westchester.
435 Hickory Hill, Westchester, PA, gate code 1974.
No.
Oh, my God. He just gave the gate code out.
No, nobody can get in that way, and we're going to change it as soon as we go there.
All right.
Having a heart attack.
You know, like, I took, wait.
Why can't everybody come and help? Just don't get drunk and be an a-hole. That's all I ask. Respect the property.
I think that's valid.
I want artists to paint all over the driveway, their art pieces, whatever they think. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, this will go well. On it?
Like, I spent a year rehabbing that barn.
Okay.
His house.
Yeah.
Place a year.
Sharp. Nobody's allowed in the house except Beanie Siegel, Freeway, and
Valiant
Thor.
Okay, well, make sure that happens. But
and pro skater.
I'll tell you what.
And pro
it's
skaters.
Just like, I don't.
good invitation to keep the
I
place
just, I don't know.
April well, doesn't have a good
feeling. She's not happy.
She doesn't have a good feeling about
this. It does
look
very nice in there, April.
Thank
you, Danny.
Great
job.
Well, your house is lovely, too. We spent a good time at his house in California.
So give me your optimum scenario here, Bam. So people come today, they start coming in, they start doing the work. When have you projected a completion time?
Well, timing is everything. I need everybody to show up not earlier and not later.
Burp.
I need you to show you up at noon.
Okay. Burp.
And we have our last skate session. All these skaters, are going to rip till 2.
Okay.
They're going to do the craziest stuff known to man. There's probably going to be some naked dudes trying to do the loop. But then we start unscrewing as we have some bands play. But then slowly the lights go out and I have this nice lighting, like the guy who does Warped Tour and stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, like so. Smoke, everything.
Yeah,
lasers.
He went all in on production.
So, I went all out.
There's no more Warped Tour, so the guy's got plenty of time on his hands now.
So, then everybody can stop unscrewing, and thanks for your help. Now we get to see Valiant Thor, Beanie Siegel, Freeway.
All right, did I read correctly that you have cash hidden around the property? Are you doing that?
Burp.
That's, by the way, that's...
See,
that's,
Abe's trying
that's
to
April's
talk me out of...
No, burp.
He's trying to...
What is she saying,
she's
by the way?
To put
or is
forth
that Latin?
This money towards this bowl, but I think it would be fun if everybody chips in $20 to go find
$20,000. No,
woods.
That's not happening.
Why?
That's not?
Not
happening.
I already went to the bank.
No, no, that's not happening. That's not happening.
You see the potential for an issue, April.
No, do you think so? Is there any issues in here?
Yeah, if you put money around,
like I'm having nightmares.
You know what? Ape can't control me or my property.
Well,
I do what I want.
Whatever, okay. But yeah, the money, no, no.
This poor mom. I still look at her and I'm like, no.
Listen, over the years, though, you've had stuff done directly to your house, so you got to remember, this is at least a slightly better...
It doesn't really matter because I've spent a year sleeping there, like redoing this place.
Oh, I see. So
like, if anything happens to that...
But the inside's going to be perfectly fine because... No one is allowed in it except for who I just
Beanie
except
Siegel.
For pro skateboarders and
yeah,
rappers.
Yeah, there you go.
Great choice.
Yeah.
But I want the driveway.
What could go wrong? I think Danny just had a great observation. What could go wrong when you have rappers and pro skaters
well,
inside?
Here's the best part. The township showed up and they put a note on the gate.
Oh, boy.
And I happened to catch the guy doing it at that exact moment.
Yeah.
And he's like, where's the owner of the property? I'm like, you're looking at it. And he's like, well, this has got to stop. And I read it, and I'm like, if you try to stop this, do you realize the riot that'll happen? And Poughkeepsie, living in Poughkeepsie, Pennsylvania, is like living in Kiev, Ukraine, like communism. I'm not kidding. It sucks.
So your neighbors are clear.
I moved because of Poughkeepsie. I live somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Castle Bam is just an Airbnb spot now.
It's not that.
Thanks to Poughkeepsie.
No, excuse
and
me.
Their communism.
We're not doing that yet. We are not doing that yet. I want to make that very clear.
Okay, all right.
That we are not doing that yet.
The communists.
We're not doing that yet. Thanks for helping the cause, Bam.
That's right, because you still live in that area and you have
well,
to.
Well, we live
no,
in
No, but the
Thornton.
Police are awesome.
No, he's
Westchester
just making
police.
It very hard to do anything.
Westchester police are awesome. The fire department, I talked to them. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
But this one guy showed up and he was trying. We compromised and he became cool about it. But I said, if you try to stop this, then Poughkeepsie Park is going to be destroyed.
Okay.
Let it be.
So what you're saying, but the overriding...
It's kind of like when Rodney King got beat up, and then the guys should have went to jail.
Don't even,
and then
like...
there's billions of dollars of Los Angeles fires.
Oh. You're like,
let it be.
You're saying avoid the Los Angeles riots and let this happen.
Yeah,
let
this happen.
Absolutely. It's just a good old friends and family event, you know?
It is a friends and family event, and I hope that everybody that comes out is respectful. And if there's any crap, you're out.
Well, I say this. I mean, right at the beginning, Bam, you said, don't be an a-hole.
Yeah.
Come and have a good time.
Yes.
Be a part of building what will probably be an incredible facility, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since you have people who know what they're doing. You have Danny here, who obviously knows his stuff. His pedigree's there.
Well, that makes one.
So come out, and just do it. But don't be an a-hole and don't make an issue or else something like this can never happen again. And you wouldn't want that.
And for their help. You know, I'll Instagram, because I don't live there anymore. So if I feel like skating on Wednesday, I'll post, hey, session on Wednesday, show up at this time.
Okay, all right. So it could be something wonderful.
And the fun just keeps going.
The rules have been drawn up, too. I don't know if I want to personally reveal the rules, but
there's
a nice set of rules for the the spectators.
Okay, but you're held to a code, right? So you have to be, as you said, you can't be an a-hole. And then you'll be fine.
Just respect the property and have a good time, because it's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, because if anybody doesn't, they're going to be out.
Okay. So when
we actually do have a capacity, because once it's full, it's full.
Okay.
Look at Danny Way right now jumping off of the guitar at the Hard Rock, that huge guitar.
I'm ready to jump off.
Yeah, we're looking at video.
Have at it then. Give it a try.
I was driving over the bridge over the Brandywine yesterday. I was thinking about it.
Oh, my God. We're watching video of this, dude. Danny. That's insane, dude. Wow.
How many attempts did it take?
I forget. I think that was like I don't remember, to be honest.
Well, he broke his ankle at the Great Wall of China, and he still tried it again with the broken ankle and then landed.
He's crazy.
Where'd you break your neck, Danny?
Oh, my God. Look at that drop in. That's insane.
Surfing California, San Diego.
Okay.
Hang on a second. We're watching this video of you with the guitar thing. How far did you jump for that drop in? That looks like 20 feet down.
That's actually 30 feet to the ramp. Jeez. The ramp's 80 feet.
That's insane, dude.
But you've done helicopter jumps.
You jumped out of a helicopter.
How high up were you?
I didn't have my altimeter watch then, but I just kind of eyeball it. Like 20 feet above the lip or something, and then like a 20 foot tall ramp, so probably like 40 feet.
Yeah, how often do you hear a skateboarder say, I didn't have my altimeter watch?
Yeah.
How do you try that for the first time?
You have one on right now?
Just got to go for it.
I'm not going for it ever.
Not really, but how do you simulate that?
I took you skydiving, Ape. You went for that.
Did you?
Yeah, I jumped out of a plane.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where?
Where was that?
Sky's the limit in Poconos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he says, can you take me to the airport? And on the way, we're jumping out of a plane, so get your head around it.
So bam, Danny's going to be doing a demo today.
Every skater, there's a lot of pro skaters here right now. Alex Moll flew in from Orange County. Fred Gall's here. Tim O'Connor. Mike Maldonado, list goes on.
You have a who's who. So if people go out, they're going to see. Now, but you did say, April, that you believe that there is a max number?
There is a max number. When the property's full, the gate's shut, and that's it. I don't care where you drove from.
Once the cars are all filled, then we can't have cars outside.
And you have to honor the town and the people.
You cannot park on the side of the road.
Hey, can I read the rules here? Because there are rules, and Bam, is this your artwork, the rules? Did you do that?
A friend of mine painted it for me, but I wrote the rules.
It looks pretty cool. So here he goes. It says, Castle Bam rules. Number one, thank you for being a part of this project. Danny Way has in his head a bowl that will be built. And by the way, the way this is written, it's kind of hard to read. So I'll do my best here. It says, if you have to piss and you have a D, piss in the pool.
What?
If you people are going to jump in it.
If you have
the real pool.
If you have a female genitalia, use the porta potty. Number three, if you're hungry, eat. If you're thirsty, drink. If you get all effed up and be an a-hole, you get punched by Andy Roy. Respect, number four, respect the effing property. Number five, donate less than $20. You're an
earthworm.
$50 or more, you support the bands. I flew in. $100 or more. Sign your name on here. You are an Earth Rocker. An Earth Rocker. Okay.
So your name will be immortalized in the in what you build.
Yeah, you're an Earth Rocker. You're going to need more because you're going to make this bow happen.
So when you come to like Beanie Siegel and you or to whoever's going to be playing out there, and you were they like were they looking at you with their heads tilted like, what is this again? Or did they just sign on immediately?
I Instagrammed and said I have $10,000 to spend on. So everybody Instagram, I was trying to see which ones were real and which ones weren't. And I know Beanie Siegel's from Philly, so I took a look at it and it was real. So
all right,
I
there
said,
you go.
Come on out.
Okay,
this dude hit me up and tried to like. At like 8 or 9 o'clock p.m. at night, and was trying to get me on the red eye flight, like on a whim. Like, I need you to come out here. I'm like, whoa, what? He's like, would you get on the red eye? And I'm like, oh, 3 hours to get packed and like sort out my life real quick. And
3 hours to wait in Philly for Bam to come get you.
Yes. What time do the band start?
The whole thing starts at noon.
Noon. So everything's
and
going.
The crazy skate session's going to start at noon and it ends at 2. Bands start playing. People start unscrewing.
So
and then,
while they're playing, you start the demo work. Everybody starts to get to work, and you got this music going on.
But, you know, the main bands are going to be, like, lights out with major lighting.
Okay. So they're going to get focused.
Yeah, exactly.
The main bands are not going to be background music.
Yeah. And
so now you're a director, you're a documentarian, you've done your share of movies. We assume this is going to be chronicled in a film, right? You're going to put this together and make it a movie?
That's why Ape doesn't understand, like, what if it's mayhem? What if it's chaos? What if it's anarchy? Good. It makes for great footage. Duh, Ape.
It makes for great hair loss.
Hey, how's Phil taking all this?
Phil's fine.
Phil's more like Phil. He's just quiet and cries a lot.
He's just quiet and cries a lot.
I'll look over at him and tears are running down his face. I'm like, you're not crying at that commercial, I know. And he goes, I don't know what to say to you. And I'm like, well, don't say anything. I just want to just keep saying, though, that when the property is full, the gate is shut, and that's it.
No, again.
Like, just don't show up and be a drunk a-hole. That's all I ask. Yeah. Don't start problems. Anything that comes out of your mouth needs to be positive.
If you're a fan of BAM, absolutely. And that's
if you're coming to key my Lamborghini, then get out.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Do you want to put your Lamborghini in a safe spot, like my house or anything like that? Or
no, I want to see if somebody keys it because I have 2 cameras on it.
Oh, okay.
And that's, I want to find out who the a-hole is.
You got security? People are going to keep an eye on everything?
We got all that covered.
All right, good.
I don't imagine you just throw caution to the wind on that. All right. So, and Danny, what's your vision for what this will end up as?
Yeah, the bowl.
The perfect line.
Meaning what now?
You know, it's hard to explain, I guess, without a visual. But
I've been skateboarding for never.
Yeah. Never.
it's a symmetrical design. It's something that would flow nicely. You don't really, you know, like it's hard, like again, without a visual to show.
Okay,
everybody. It's like. The layout.
It'll make people who don't skateboard want to watch a contest. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like if you're flicking channels and you're like, whoa, what's this? I don't even skateboard, but this is interesting.
See, do you think that's an issue with a lot of skateboard competitions and that the course is not designed in an engaging way or?
Sometimes not.
I mean, these guys have gotten pretty good at it these days, so I'm not going to say that these events don't have good skatable parks or, you know, courses. But
I love watching it when it's done well, you know?
Yeah.
You know what? Can I ask you, Bam, because I think in the sport you were an innovator. I don't know if you realize that, you know, your street style of skating was kind of revolutionary. We had these kids in, and I'm going to call them kids because they're kids. There's a movie called The Mid-90s. I don't know if you saw the movie or not.
I want to see it real bad,
okay,
actually.
But these guys because you were, and at a very young age, were you know, doing things that adults couldn't do.
You were sponsored, too, early.
And it was funny talking to these guys because their heads and tails above where you were at
that age?
At that age and stuff. And, I don't know if you are encouraged by that. Like, I don't know how you feel about that. But when you watch,
he was invited to the premiere.
Yeah.
Was it Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
He personally reached out to my email.
Yeah.
To invite Bam, but he was in Louisiana, and there was only like a day or two.
Okay.
Well, April, we talked to the guys. The cast was in here, and we were talking to the kids, and they were. They were very reverential of what you guys started. So, in fact, they had to go back and learn the beginning style. They had to try to mimic
and
what you
the
guys...
same clothes as what we used to wear.
It's a period
they
piece.
They had to dumb down.
Same size wheels.
Yeah. They basically had to dumb down their capabilities for the movie because it was... Because it was set in the 90s.
So. The 90s was a needle-moving moment, revolutionary time in skateboarding. To be honest, that was like, you know, to be not as a lot has changed, except guys have gotten more consistent and they're doing it down maybe bigger stuff. But the fundamentals of skateboarding
still the same.
Were revolutionized in the early 90s, and that standardization has been set since.
Is what's so funny, though, is when you watch me jump off my roof onto a trampoline and everybody's like, oh, my God, that's so funny. I learned it from him. Just watch Plan B Questionable video.
Yeah.
I totally bit his...
His style? Yep.
It wasn't worth biting that, though. That whiplash from that, those those roof jumps to trampoline, I don't recommend anyone
get. All right, so let's compare. Danny, you have 13, what, you've had 13 operations and a broken neck, right?
I might have you
24
beat.
Surgeries.
Oh, you have me beat.
All right.
Yeah,
what are you up to, Bam?
I got 16 staples in my head, broken tailbone, 8 broken ribs, broken foot 3 different times, broken wrist 9 times, and a broken clavicle, and one thing left.
Do you guys travel like...
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Are you guys like Dalton and Roadhouse? Do you travel with your medical records and all that crap?
Yeah, I think Danny's got you beat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a surgery connoisseur, by default. You know,
you could probably do it yourself at this point.
When you're having, like, going out to dinner on a Friday night with your surgeon, you know you've done some time in a surgery.
Ben, what was it that you did in the kayak? What was the injury there?
That was a 100-foot drop.
That was a 100-foot drop off of, we were tandem on a waterfall called Malatko Falls, 101 feet. And if we would have landed at tandem, it would have been world's highest tandem. But I got ejected right out of it, and I ruptured a hernia.
You didn't realize, when you were telling us, you didn't realize that you were heading up to it. Did you realize it was 100 feet?
Oh, I knew it was 100 feet, and I was terrified.
Well, no, didn't you think it was like kilometers or something? And
oh, yeah, they
100 kilometers.
Or not kilometers, I mean...
No, they told me it was meters. 30 meters, okay. And I'm thinking 30 feet.
Okay.
When I get there, I'm like, 30 feet? No, I said 30 meters. That means it's 100 feet. I'm like, oh. I'm already here in Portland, Oregon. I have to do it now. You threw me out.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
That is mental.
Wow.
It's crazy stuff.
Hey, a practical question that somebody has on the text message. Will there be electrical hookups for people to charge their drills batteries, or do they need to bring a generator with them?
Well, I'd say bring a generator because we already have the generator for all the rock and roll lights and sound.
Right,
so
right.
You just
hedge
your bets. Plugging in drills with that. So bring a generator.
Okay.
All right. I like your idea, Steve, of this being, this does sound like an Amish barn raising need. The whole community comes in.
For skateboarders.
Everybody pitches in, but it's
teamwork for skateboarders.
But for skateboarders.
Yeah. And the absolute at the top of the list of things, don't be an a-hole.
Yes.
Come out. Be a part of something cool.
Yeah.
Build a really good experience. You got the top of the tops out there. You have music and all this.
Yep.
And make it a good afternoon. Don't screw it up.
So it starts at noon today. What's
that? I want Pocopson on my side here. I'm going to make sure everything works smoothly and everybody's out at a certain time.
Okay.
And what's the address again, Bam?
435 Hickory Hill, gate code 1974.
Because we're taking the gate down.
April is putting her hand on his mouth.
Are you insane?
Yes.
Now I got to freaking change that as soon as I go out there. It's a pain in the neck.
All right. Well, this is pretty outrageous.
Well,
man.
Just know, too, that like when it's full,
call
it's
off
closed.
Work, get in your cars and show up
it's
in Westchester.
It's closed. I don't care where you drove from. Move on.
When it's full, it's full. And it has to be. I'm sure it's a town ordinance. You can only
You cannot park on the road. You cannot park anywhere near
well,
there.
You'll fill up the yard until
and then move
filled.
On. Go to Westchester.
All right, Ape. I got it under control.
I'm not talking to you.
And by the way, Bam, Mike Nappy is going to be performing, too. He's here in our studio.
He's like, if Simon Cowell like heard him, he would be like, you're signed.
Really?
You should think about that, Nappy.
So what we're going to do is...
He's on to something here with this stuff.
He's here, and we're going to have him perform, Casey, record a performance.
We're going to do a Facebook Live with him. And
very cool.
And
take
Bam
a listen, because it's really,
on.
Really good. Yep.
So we'll do that in just a couple of minutes, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it should be pretty cool. Oh, all right, man. Well, you've done it again, Bam. Another... I can't believe you're doing that moment.
This is part one, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean part one?
It's part one.
Up.
April. Quick mention of your business.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I have a business, and I'm trying to get to
it's
it.
Called Rose Hip Barn.
Antique.
Come and check it out.
We're open every Saturday till Christmas. We're also open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a part of Monday that Christmas week.
So. Featured Bam Candles.
I'll be there with no hair on Saturday.
Bam Candles, Rose Hip Barn, Thornton, Pennsylvania.
Very nice crafts.
There we go. Very nice crafts.
All right, cool, guys. Thanks for coming by. Danny, yeah, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. Awesome, man.
And Mike, nice to meet you guys. Come all right, out. It's come the crew out. Here once again. Yeah. And get
Castle
there.
Van.
People are already showing up. Castle Van. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR proudly presents the return of Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. Thursday, December 20th at the brand new Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. A live broadcast with 250 super fans in the audience, each out to prove their Preston and Steve IQ in a game show style throwdown. At stake, the best and biggest giveaways of the year, plus a pile of fabulous prizes from our favorite sponsors and advertisers.
Longwood Gardens, Steven Star Restaurants, and Stock Car Racing Experience.
Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle, Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition at Parks Casino. Get lucky in no time. Listen to claim your spot in the studio audience. Details at WMMR.com.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
I want to do a few more invites for the Christmas Miracle. Let's take five callers who can join us at the Excite Center Parks Casino in Bensalem on next Thursday, a week from today. And don't call unless you know our program. If you've been listening for a number of years and you think you are fairly well-versed in the lexicon of Preston and Steve, because we're going to be asking trivia questions for people who are randomly chosen out of the audience to be on Contestants Row to win great prizes.
That's the main way to win. There will be other ways to win.
And one of those is actually the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater, by the way. So if you wear an ugly sweater, you might win some prizes that particular day as well. But there are some pre-parties with specials and Miller Lite Ugly Sweaters that you can actually win, and there's two more left.
You can hedge your bets a little bit by going to any one of these events.
There's one on Saturday at the Octoraro Hotel and Tavern, which is at 2 South 3rd Street in Oxford, and they have $2 Miller Lite bottles and your chance to win some ugly sweaters from 8 to 10 p.m. And then the last one will be with Marissa on Tuesday at the Blue Cross River Rink from 8 to 10. And she will not only have the ugly sweaters, I assume, to give away, but also 10 seats to join us for the Christmas Miracle broadcast. So go ice skate and maybe win something. And and if you haven't done the Blue Cross River Rink this time of year, you're missing out. It's really special.
I already have my Christmas sweater set aside for the broadcast.
Nice.
But I think going to either of these events is a good way to sort of hedge the bets, as they say.
Yeah. So we'll get five callers on board. And I want to mention, we're going to do the Bizarre File, then we'll break, and then when we come back, it is a Preston and Steve exclusive, a special Hallmark Channel radio special of Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove, starring Gary Lauer.
Wow. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You know I'm a sucker for the Hallmark
movies.
I watch it. They're so, they're just all over the place. And now I think there was a day last week in the evening where there were six separate movies on at the same time.
I believe it. And you know what, Steve? Other channels are getting in on it, too.
You're right.
And starting to create their own original holiday programming.
It's not just Hallmark. It's Lifetime.
Why
am I talking like a frog? It's a Hallmark, Lifetime, any of those style channels have their own self-generated Christmas romantic movies.
So now do we.
Yes.
We do. No, I wish I had your ability, Steve, to suspend all belief in reality and
you have
sit
to suspend,
down.
Yes, that and self-respect. If you can suspend both of those, then you can enjoy them the way I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll do Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove.
Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove.
Starring Gary Lauer in just a little while. But let's do the Bizarre File first.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you this morning by Delilah's Unwrapped. Delilah's Holiday Spectacular is Wednesday, December 19th, and it features DJ Kim Lee, Delilah's Sexy Santa Contest, and more. Visit Delilah's.com for details. Now, not 100% sure of the validity of this story.
Is it good?
It's good.
Then I don't care.
A 16-year-old virgin male has won a free holiday to an exotic island where holidaymakers pay for unlimited sex with prostitutes, it has been claimed.
It's a Christmas miracle.
The boy, named only as Brian, is said to have secretly used his father's credit card to enter a raffle to win a trip to the controversial resort called Sex Island, where hookers outnumber visitors 2-1.
Isn't that where one of the guys on Anchorman ends up hosting?
But I've heard of this island before.
Sex Island? Yeah. I have not heard of Sex Island.
And despite his alleged subterfuge, the young New Yorker has reportedly been allowed to claim the $5,800 prize by his father, who had to sign a permission slip because he's only 16. See, that's where I don't think that this is legit, but we're going to run with it anyway. Speaking before he traveled to the island on Tuesday, Brian said, after seeing the videos from Sex Island, I just wanted to be there. But I never imagined I would actually win. I used my dad's credit card without telling him.
I never imagined I'd win a trip to Sex Island.
I received an email last week telling me that I'd won the golden ticket. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I thought I was dreaming. When I told my parents, they were very angry. But then my dad researched about it, and he liked what he saw, too. He decided
And then I got the golden dildo.
He said that I could go and sign a permission slip because I am not an adult. Now, okay, so listen, says this. Men who pay $4,600 to visit Sex Island are given two sex workers to spend time with for the duration of the stay. There's no way.
No.
$4,600.
No. That's a savings.
That's cheaper than going to, like, Sandals Resort, you know?
Leave off the last S for slut.
Yeah, and you get hookers? I'm not
I don't believe that. No, so now there's holes in the story. holes.
Brian, who is originally from Chile, was one of thousands of men who were automatically entered after making a purchase from the Sex Island online store.
So. Do you remember, though, there was a story of a guy who, and actually former President Bill Clinton was rumored to go to one of these The island, they're not saying he did anything nefarious there, but it was an island that was known to court people from around the world who would go, and it was sort of like Sex Island.
Okay.
So you got there, and there was, so take the Bunny Ranch and make it an island, and that's what it was.
I like that.
For heavy rollers.
I like that.
Yeah.
But it's got to cost more than $4,600.
I can't imagine.
No.
That's taking care of everything.
All right. Moving on to another story. When you agree to marry someone, it's likely you'll have a discussion about your future together at one point or another. Typically, this conversation might include the topic of children and how many you want, when you want to have them, and that kind of thing. But one couple clearly didn't get the memo about this important chat. And now, after 3 years of marriage, they're having a pretty difficult time wrapping their heads around what the other person wants. In this case, what the wife wants is to use a sperm donor to have children because she doesn't think that her husband is attractive enough.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there's a slap in the face.
Now, her husband has taken to Reddit to share his shock upon discovering things, so that I'm questioning the validity of this. So the unnamed 30-year-old wrote, when talking about children, we wanted to start soon. She suggested a sperm donor because the child would supposedly have a better chance at a good life. I was incredibly confused and asked her to explain, to which she explained that if the baby had genes of an incredibly attractive and smart man, he or she would live an easier life and be happier. She's not wrong in that more attractive people live life easier, but it's just so hurtful to think that your wife doesn't think that you're good enough to have children with. He goes on to claim that the real reason that his wife wants to use a sperm donor is because of her own insecurity, and then proceeds to say some not very complimentary things about her. He said, if I'm being objective, my wife is incredibly smart, but not jaw-dropping beautiful. And though she has a healthy, fit body, her face is not perfect, he said.
Oh, my God.
But he said she is imperfectly perfect to me, but she's only about a solid 6 or 7.
Well, damn.
I think they were kind of made for each other.
He said, I think her own insecurity might in part play a role since she struggled with not being a beautiful woman in her younger days, and it said how life is easier to be good looking. At the end of the post, though, the husband reveals that despite everything, he's been considering her bizarre suggestion, and he just wants to fix the problem with their marriage. However, he later on adds an update after having a chat with his wife. He said they were up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was a crying conversation, and during it, he discovered that his wife had already found a sperm donor, and she'd been having an affair with him.
Oh, man.
Well, that's not the way you do it.
He said, I asked if she knew a donor, and she kept mentioning her colleague and our friend, who I didn't think much of at first, and it turns out she's been cheating on him with me.
Yes, I found one, and he does home delivery.
And realized that she wanted her kids to be like him, a handsome doctor. The heartbroken husband then declares that he is going to begin divorce proceedings and destroy her in court right after he calls the doctor's wife and tells her about the affair. So,
hi, it's Dr. Chet Wainwright. Is your wife at home?
It was all a bit of a ruse. All right, here's a nice story. I like
uplift
this.
Us.
Not necessarily bizarre file material, but I did like it. It started as a noise complaint, but ended with St. Paul police officers playing video games with a group of friends gathered at an apartment.
Uh-huh.
Javonte Williams put a short 11-second video of the moment on Twitter, and it's taken off with a lot of people viewing it. He wrote, the title was, "So neighbors called the cops on us, and now we're fighting them. In Smash Bros." The officers were called to the apartment on Friday about 10:30 p.m. They were responding to a neighbor complaint of noise disturbance. Officer Isaac Palmer and Officer Yuke Yang played Nintendo game Super Smash Brothers with the groups for about 4 to 5 people. He said, "I never played the game, so why not?" The man who answered the door was, quote, a decent dude, according to Palmer. The group was inside. They were just having some pizza and some beers while playing the video game, and they asked officers if they wanted to join in and play as well.
And they did.
And it was just a noise issue, so that was handled, Palmer said. He said, "Not every call is chaos. Some days we can just sit and chit-chat with people when it's not crazy and you can take the time to talk."
So are you a Smash Brothers?
No. Yeah. I've never played it. My son plays it, but
I played it a couple times. I know people love it, and I can see it's colorful and it's kinetic, but it's not my cup of tea.
It's a little over the top. There's a lot of movements, and it looks a little crazy to me, but people love it. All right, and then one last story. A noxious substance believed to be bear spray was used by two armed robbers who struck a location of a place called the Beer Store last Saturday night.
Bear spray used at the Beer Store?
Yeah, police said the incident involved two suspects, one armed with a spray can, the other with a suspected handgun. Security cameras recorded two masked robbers entering the store, approaching an employee and demanding money. The suspect with the spray can blasted its contents on the employees. The robbers left with a quantity of cash.
When bear spray comes out, it comes out in a straight stream, does it not?
Yeah, and it's got some distance to it.
Right, like wasp spray, if you ever have used
it. I think it's more foggy than that, Steve. I think it's not a straight stream. You'd have to look up video, but I thought I saw it one time, and it looked like a big cloud that comes out of it. So but I may be wrong on that. I'll have to pull up a video of somebody using bear spray, if you wouldn't mind.
It's got
to
be a whole bunch on Pornhub.
Yeah, here on the left, Steve. See that kind of cloud?
Oh,
out?
I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's using the Peter North brand.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Peter North. Bears are quite a dilemma, but you always run out.
Yeah.
Not with my system.
And sometimes you need to be about 20 feet away.
Yeah.
So that's why we have the Peter North system.
That's right.
There's still more button.
Oh, Kathy, that's hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah, so funny.
The robbers left with a quantity of cash. Police said the employee's injuries were minor and did not require medical attention. And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Okay, when we return, and keep in mind, nobody's heard this but Steve yet, so this is new to us as well, and I'm excited.
Oh, listen, I'm a sucker for Hallmark, so, you know, I'm going to be biased, but I hope you like it.
The Preston and Steve Show presents a Hallmark Channel radio special of Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove, starring Gary Lauer, and we will return and have that for you in its entirety, so get yourself ready. We'll be back in just a moment.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Real quick, before we get to our next segment, I would like you to do this. I would like you to grab your whatever device you use for social media, whether it's going to be your phone or your computer, whatever you have handy, tablet, anything. And if you follow us on Instagram, go to the Preston and Steve Instagram page right now and click on, it's the most recent item that we've posted. And I want you to look at that before we play what we're going to play, because there's artwork that goes along with this.
I think, honestly, it's the perfect Christmas image.
It's very adorable. And what I didn't realize is this is a Preston and Steve channel. It says that the network is the Preston and Steve channel.
Yes.
And, that creates this.
With Hallmark.
It's a Preston and Steve original movie, Well, the font is done as in as if we are the Hallmark Channel.
Of course we are.
And saying that it premieres Thursday, December 13th. So I'm going to give you just a moment to go and take a look at that and let that sink in for a second before we play our presentation, which, by the way, none of us have heard. Steve is the only one that's had an ear on this so far, but it's a special moment. I saw some of the recording sessions going on. We'll talk about that at another time. But we're going to have a Preston and Steve original movie that we're going to play the audio of. It's made for radio. So.
And hopefully it becomes a perennial with you and your family.
I absolutely hope so. So hopefully you've had a few. I've given you a few seconds. Go over and take a look at that. And anything else we want to say? Casey, we have a special fanfare to get ready for this. So. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Do I need to set it up or did you set it?
It sets itself up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us begin.
And now, Preston and Steve, in association with the Hallmark Channel, present Christmas at Cookie Cove. For driven career girl Tori Torrenson, an unexpected stop in Christmas Cookie Cove was the last thing she needed.
Hello? Hello? Is someone here? I'm an executive for a large pharmaceutical company heading to a meeting, and my car just got stuck outside of your town, Christmas Cookie Cove.
Whoops, sorry, I didn't hear you, ma'am. I was outside taking a dump in the creek.
Oh, no. Don't tell me your bathroom is broken.
No, it's working just fine. Ah, where are my manners? The name's Lauer, Gary Lauer.
Oh, my God, he's a dreamboat. Keep it together, girl.
Well, Mr. Lauer.
Please call me Stick Shift Swifty Shifty Lauer.
His sexy bugged out eyes look like two bloodshot Christmas ornaments, and the spit spray from his mouth is creating a rainbow under his nose. I think I'm falling in love.
Well, Mr. Lauer, my car is stuck in a snowbank down on Mistletoe Road. Could you arrange to have me towed?
You know what I like? When lesbians are doing the daisy chain, and then they flip over.
Excuse me?
I said no can do. The closest tow truck is in Garland Reef, Slave Bell, Candy Cane, Nutcracker County. And with this snow, the earliest they can get here is tomorrow.
Well, then it looks like I'll be needing a room for the night at your hotel.
No problem. I'll need your name and credit card, please.
It's Tori. Tori Torrenson.
Well, pleased to meet you. Tori Pori Pumpkin Pie Torrenson.
Please don't do that.
Later that afternoon, Tori and Gary share some eggnog while sitting by a cozy fire.
And so, after my wife passed away, I took my daughter, Amy Fisher Lauer, and set down roots here in Christmas Cookie Cove.
I'm so sorry. Had she been sick?
No, her heart just stopped. After the train hit her, hit her in the car, which then exploded.
Oh, no.
And to this day, I can't help but feel that I was somehow responsible.
Oh, no, no, no. How could you be?
Well, I was the one who waved her across the train tracks. I was looking the wrong way because I was super drunk and coked up.
Well, I guess we all have regrets. You see, I feel as if my drive for a career has made me miss out on a turnkey family in a rustic small town where Christmas still matters.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I was distracted because you're nipping big time.
Soon, evening rolled around, and Christmas Cookie Cove came alive with the sights and sounds of the holidays. Gary decided to take Tori into town for Christmas Cookie Cove's annual Christmas Cookie and Christmas Candy and Christmas Candy Cane Contest Convention and Carnival.
Oh, Gary, your town is so beautiful. I just love it.
Yeah, it is pretty great. And there's always a shitload of cookies.
Well, look at these two lovebirds.
Hey, Dottie, how are you? Tori, this is my Aunt Dottie. Double dip Dottie dot 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 dots.
That's that little name thing you always do. Tori, could I steal you away from Gary for just a second?
Of course.
Uh-oh. You know what they say. You better set the walking when the bitches start squawking. Ladies, I'll go get us some cocoa.
Ah, he's quite a young man, Tori. But I hope you know there's more to him than just picking bits of whatever he ate out of your hair. In many ways, he's like an onion. And mostly because he smells like an onion.
Yeah, he's very, very special.
I think I'm hearing something in your voice more than just the sounds of general disgust. You love Gary, don't you?
Is it that obvious?
As obvious as the long and winding drool stain down the front of his sweater. You need to tell him.
You're right. I will. Thank you, Aunt Dottie.
Well, I'm back. To be honest, I forgot why I left and where I was going and where this is and who I am.
Gary, I need to tell you something. I've fallen in love with you. Now, I know it's all moving so fast, and I would understand if maybe you don't...
Stop talking and listen. I wanted you to hear that. I baked that Christmas cookie with my heart.
Oh, Gary.
And so, love had come to Christmas Cookie Cove, and soon everybody would be talking about Gary and Tori, and where Gary had more than likely buried Tori. From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. I love it.
Oh, my God.
Is it one for the holidays, you think?
It's one for the holidays. So. It's one for the ages, yes. Is what it is. Oh, my God. Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove. Starring Gary Lauer, of course, with support players Sarah Parker.
Yes.
From, of course, Jackson's afternoon program. And Kathy Romano.
Yeah.
Aunt Dottie.
You did a great job.
And
our former intern, Max, who's just got a killer voice.
Yes,
he was the announcer.
The narrator. Oh.
Please tell me we are going to hear the outtakes of Gary.
Yeah,
eventually, at some point, yeah. We will definitely get to
that. Because
there's
no way that...
Oh, my God.
That
so
went like
so
that.
I will tell you this.
You
Kathy,
had a lot of editing?
So it took me editing you putting that together about 4 minutes. It took about 3 hours.
For Gary?
For Gary. Because I had to... Now, mind you, he does some good. I think he turns in a very solid performance as a leading man.
He did.
But there were points when I was taking just parts of sentences and matching them together.
All right. So the whole bit is a little less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Gary Lauer's voiceover session took almost 40 minutes.
Okay. And by the way, he's just one player. Now, mind you, he's in every scene.
Yeah.
So the demands are great. He probably has the most dialogue.
Can I just give you a little taste?
This is just the first 4 seconds of his session.
I know. I heard that. I heard she told me. Right.
There you go. At one point, he's like, I need to blow my nose. I was like, oh, my God.
So I'm looking at the waveform and I'm editing. So I edited this at my setup at home. And I'm seeing that, and then it just goes flat line as he's looking for a tissue for about 12 minutes. But we'll play that. We want to get people used to this, and so play it again at a certain point, and then when you do, you in the perspective of hearing the amount of, it's like when you see a behind the scenes or the extras on a Blu-ray, you can appreciate it more.
Right.
You're familiar with the film.
We'll get to the outtakes at another time.
I love the daisy chain line. Are we going to fill the listeners in?
By the way,
why that was thrown in there?
That was a last minute addition, Preston, because of something you told me.
Yeah. I was at the Camp Out for Hunger, and Gary was out in the evening. He had to work over at the Wells Fargo Center, so he stopped by for a little bit and we had a brief chit-chat, and was getting ready to... We wrapped up the conversation. Yeah. I turn around to walk away, and he comes over, and he goes, wait a minute, he was pressing, wait. I just want to share with you, man to man. What's a really beautiful thing? A daisy chain.
Yeah.
The chicks, when they daisy chain. He's like, and then we flip, they all flip over. Oh, yes. It's like, You had to man to man. We had to talk about that. That was like the. Yeah. I thought you were going to share something.
Right.
Fairly
at
personal.
The camp out, at the camp out.
Listen, in this time of giving and generosity, I thought you could benefit from knowing I love lesbo daisy chains.
Yeah.
What?
And then when they flip over.
I'm glad you added that. That was cool.
Thank you.
Oh my God. I have been. I halfway watch these Hallmark shows. I don't get into them totally. I think I said this on the air. I've never found myself more often saying, "I know her."
Yes,
I know her. And then I'll go look up on IMDb, and I'm like, "No, I don't know her." A lot of them look familiar to me, but I can't quite, place who they are.
And they're almost always very attractive.
There was one, most definitely. There was one gal who I was like, wow, she's very, very pretty. And I went and looked her up, and apparently she was on Days of Our Lives or something like that. She was a soap opera actress. Steve, it was, she owns the Holly Lodge.
The Holly Lodge.
And she's behind on her payments.
Yes.
And an assessor came in to take a look at the property to possibly buy it for the big wealthy guy who lives somewhere else.
Is the assessor a very attractive man.
Yes, and he doesn't have a child, but he's single, I think. And
does she have a child?
No, but there's a kid involved somewhere in there.
All right.
Christmas at Holly Lodge. Marissa just found it.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Sammy from Days of Our Lives.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marlena's daughter.
I thought she was really attractive, and I looked her up. I'm like, okay. And yeah, Steve, they, you know, clearly they're attracted to each other, but they can't possibly have a relationship because he's trying to buy her lodge. She's behind on the payments.
And then what happened? There's an epiphany point. Do they get into a snowball fight?
There's a massive snowball fight. I kid you
right.
not.
And then there's a little bit longer look than there was before, and they realize.
Yeah, and in fact, what happened is, she fell down,
yeah,
and he leans in to help her up,
right.
and they're so close,
right?
You know, during the snowball fight.
Right.
And it's a moment, and then the moment goes away. But you know,
I swear to God. So as I was writing this initially, and I just happened to have them on in the background, and the one that started about 80% through of writing the script for this was it's the old woman who runs the cookie festival in town, breaks her ankle. So her successful niece, who is works for an ad agency, comes back home to help put on the cookie festival.
She has no Christmas spirit
she
whatsoever.
She has no Christmas spirit whatsoever. But the doctor in town who's taking care of the Christmas cookie organizer's ankle happens to be incredibly hunky.
Uh-huh.
And has a daughter, but he's a widower. So, you know, that's always the case.
Okay. So the one I saw that I did spend a little bit of time with because I recognize both the players and the actor. We've had him on before. Played the drummer in That Thing You Do. Really good-looking guy.
Yes.
Tom Everett Scott.
So he's a single father.
Of course he is.
And his.
Do you know what that means, by the way? That means, listen, this guy wants a family. So that's enticing. But fortunately, the woman he was married to is dead.
Yeah, I assume he's a widower.
Yeah.
And his daughter, who seemed to be about 7 or 8 years old, had to take a flight by herself to another city where he was going to be picking her up. And so the flight attendant stayed with her the whole time, and they made crafts, and she was really sweet. And I think the actress, remember the show? Was it Dog Eat Dog? Brooke, stunningly beautiful,
yes.
Blonde.
Brooke Burns. Right.
I'm pretty sure that was her. Marissa, is that Brooke Burns?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Oh yes, of course.
But it looks like Brooke Burns has another love interest.
Oh, she does.
They always do.
And of course, she is one of the sexiest women in the world, and she's single, and
of course,
just looking for a good relationship, a good man. But they really made the connection through the girl. And
those are the best ones. Those ones when they try to do riffs on A Christmas Carol or whatever, and they try to do something magical, it doesn't work. But we have A Christmas Prince, a Crown for Christmas, Once Upon a Holiday, A Bramble House Christmas, The Mistletoe Inn, Christmas with Holly. And they always have a little riff or a little play, A Bride for Christmas, Christmas Incorporated, My Christmas Dream.
This one was called Christmas Connection, by the way. So
okay.
You know, flights connecting. Flights.
Ah! I get it.
A Boyfriend for Christmas. Silver Bells is kind of an old one.
It's on constantly in my household. It's just on. It's like normally when we have True TV on and the Impractical Jokers just runs constantly in my house. That's the way it is right now with the Hallmark Channel.
And I hear you. And it's my fascination because I'll leave them on. I'll change from different channels to channel. What I do like about them is that it's like Law and Order. You don't. Oh, you're right. It was Brooke Burns in it. Yeah, that's insane. Mm-hmm. You can go from one right into the other, and it doesn't even matter that you didn't watch the ending of one. It'll be the ending of the one that's following.
Yeah, you're right.
And also, they're all sponsored by Balsam Hill. So all of the Christmas
sets. The hell is Balsam Hill?
They do all the artificial trees decorating and the lighting and all that stuff. Okay. Everything is just resplendent.
I need to admit something. I am not and haven't been yet in the Christmas spirit. I don't know what it is. I haven't, really.
Yeah.
I tried to yesterday.
That's a shame.
Because I love this time of year, and I'm waiting. And I
holiday activities. You haven't done any activities.
Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove didn't help you.
It's getting me there,
okay, right.
And that's not true, Kathy. I do Christmas activities. I even put on Bing Crosby's Christmas album yesterday while I was driving.
Good. That's good.
Have you done Rudolph? Have you done Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown Christmas to me is always a home run.
Nope. Nope.
I refuse to watch A Christmas Story until Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's the standard, I think.
It's a Wonderful Life. Would that help?
I've never seen it. It doesn't do much for me. Christmas Vacation.
It's in black and white. How do you know it doesn't do much for you if you've never seen it?
Because it's black and white and I can't get into it.
Watch the colorized version.
All right, listening to Bing Crosby, that's good, but what holiday activity have you done? You need to go out and do something.
Kathy, would you recommend? You're the holiday activity expert. What would you
recommend? Anything. Go to my list. Do any of them.
You have to give him one for specifically tailored to Casey. You know, what do you think would work for him to get him in that mode?
I ate a cheese sandwich in Christmas Village at Dillard Park,
but you were
Love
there
Park.
For work.
Doesn't matter.
Wait. Well, Marissa's freaking out on the cheese sandwich thing.
Did you do the melted cheese? The rotella? Oh, my God. They do this melted cheese thing, and they put it with pickles and spicy mustard. And
that
it's
sounds
like,
pretty good.
It's really good.
They lift it up, and it melts, and then, like, a whole big block of cheese. And then they pull it down and scrape it.
Yeah. You posted a video of that a while back.
Yes, it did.
It does look really good.
Yeah,
okay.
And
that didn't do it for you?
Not yet. I've done shopping. And...
No. That's not just Christmas shopping? That's not a holiday activity.
Yeah, but when you're in the mall and the music's playing and you see everybody
right,
and you
but
see
what I'm
Santa
saying,
and all that stuff, it can bring you into the spirit.
Of course it can, and it does for me 100%. But what I'm saying to him is he needs an activity to bring him into the spirit. That way when he goes to the mall to go shopping, he likes the Christmas music.
May I suggest Broadcasting Christmas with Dean Cain? That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. Is that on Hallmark?
Yeah, that's Hallmark.
Broadcasting Christmas.
He's a news anchor.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got you. Case, I'm not there 100% yet. But,
I'm waiting.
But then again, listen, it's the 13th.
You've got time.
We've started to become conditioned, though. We've started to become conditioned to get into the Christmas spirit right at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to do that. Yeah. You don't have to do that. It's weeks and weeks and weeks. You're okay.
Decorated my house, which to me is work and not like, I remember as a kid, like decorating the Christmas tree. It was always like, oh man, I want to put this one on. Where's that one ornament that was, you know, oh, that's my favorite one. I call that one. I get to put that one on the tree.
You did a great job, Casey. Now I'm going to make you cookies.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of work, but
this is
heartbreaking. Maybe a movie should be made about this, where a young therapist comes in.
Yeah,
a young boy who couldn't get into the spirit,
but
or actually
then a
an
young
adult
therapist
man.
Arrived.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kathy Romano. There's no hope for you,
unless of course.
Yeah.
Holiday activities. Join me.
Yeah. Well, you'll get there, man.
I'm trying to. I love this time of year.
You do love this time
I
of year.
Really
and
do.
You love the gift-giving aspect of it, too, of getting other people gifts. I know that. You love buying for other people.
I do. Yeah. And I'm so excited for my Pollyanna gift.
Yes.
Not getting it, but giving it.
Yes. And I'm excited to give mine as well.
Me something good.
Amongst us here, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And actually, just to make it clear, because this is what I based it on, it's a $500 limit, right?
Yes.
You know what? I got my daughter, God bless her, she comes up the other day, or yesterday actually, and starts handing out pieces of paper to everybody in the family. But I took it totally the wrong way. She wants to do a secret Santa. I'm like, a secret Santa? We're already... Okay. Damn it.
Yeah.
Another one to get. We're already giving gifts to each other. Why do we have to
do this? Well, there's, you know, regular Santa comes to the house, and then you guys are going to do your deal. So
yeah, but then there's secret Santa, too.
Right.
Now, so another one I have to go out.
I tell you what would happen, which is an interesting
Grinch
trajectory within our family and extended family. So when nieces and nephews are old enough and they have their own kids, then you don't buy for the two, you buy for the kid. So we've actually had a few gift giving obligations reduced.
Buying for kids is easy,
right?
Too.
So Claire does all that. Yeah. I buy for Claire basically, and just a couple other people. Yeah. She buys for her whole extended family.
My charade is when we're sitting with other family members and they open something up that's from me and they go, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, oh, no problem. You're welcome. And I have no idea what they've got.
I've actually taken to, what do we get you?
Yeah. That good. You've got it. Yeah, you nipped it in the bud.
Listen, financially, I did.
Yeah.
I've helped. I just, You trust me, if you're a 14, 15-year-old girl in the family, you do not want me buying your gift.
Right.
I don't know what the hell I'm getting.
Or maybe you do because you're going to get a $500 Amazon gift card. I have no problem saying, you know what, I had nothing to do with that. You can thank me, but my wife is the one who did all of this. So
somebody texts in and says, Casey is bah humbug. No, he's not. He wants to be in the spirit. It just hasn't gotten there. He's not, you're not pretending like you're in the spirit. It just hasn't grabbed you yet. Nobody loves it more than you. So.
Yeah, and I would say this, though. Act, as they say, act as if ye have faith and ye shall be given.
You know what? Santa Claus came through the neighborhood on the fire engine yesterday.
That makes a difference, right?
We weren't there.
Oh, my God.
Well, why don't you set a fire?
Dude, okay. So what I didn't realize is my daughter's basketball team had a game last night. And as we were leaving, we heard a siren come into the neighborhood. And I thought that was Santa Claus, and so we pulled.
Did you pull an ambulance off the road,
Steve? It's basically what happened.
Really?
So we come up to the stop sign. We need to make a right to get out of the neighborhood, and there is these lights. And I go to the kids, and we're running late. I go. Hey, do you guys want to go up? Do you want to go up and stop at Santa real quick? And Casey's like, no, the game's going to start soon. I'm so glad we didn't, because I'm fairly certain that was an ambulance on a call.
Wouldn't be wild if you put around, hey, kids, we're going to see Santa. And there's like an open artery out of the neck. Come on, soldier!
Live!
Santa's dying!
Because
do you mind if I just grab a quick picture?
Because when we got back to the neighborhood after the game, that's when, like, you actually heard the fire engines. And I'm like, okay, that was really Santa.
Yeah.
I think somebody was dying earlier.
You don't want to tell the kids that.
No, definitely not.
You know what?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bryce.
I was going to go to a call here real quick because I don't know what they want to pass along. Hey, Matt, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, man, what's up?
Yeah, so the way I think Casey can get excited about decorating the tree is something my wife and I do, is that for every ornament that I put on the tree, she takes off an article of clothing.
Ah, yeah, I do that with my mom.
So, Casey, if you go over to their house and put a decoration on the tree, his wife will take an article of clothing.
Okay, well, that works.
All right, thanks, Matt.
That's right, I'm a giver.
Good suggestion.
Debbie, Casey's here. Take your top off.
I'm going to go to Zach. He's kind of commiserating with Casey. Hi, Zach, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good, what's happening, Zach?
I just wanted to call and tell Casey that like you said, I'm totally with him. I don't have a wife that can take her clothes off for you. But no, I'm a Lyft and Uber driver, and I'm bringing out my Eagle Santa hat and wearing the red hoodie to kind of get into that Christmas color, Christmas spirit, and it's not doing it for me.
You know, I can tell you this, and Preston's right. Throughout the course of my life, and what am I, I'm 86 now?
Yeah.
It has happened that it sometimes hits later and sometimes hits earlier. But I've never had one, even with, like, you know, a loss in the family or whatever, mm-hmm. where at least some point you don't yeah. get it. Because, you know, I've had Christmases where I had to work or whatever. And even that had a charm to it, right. You know?
I actually prefer, for some reason, I have a better feeling on Christmas Eve than I do on Christmas Day. And there's something about...
I know why.
Why is it?
It's probably more of an obligation for you to go around you have to be out moving about on Christmas, where Christmas Eve you're at home, right?
No, it's both. Like,
really?
I'm more out and about on Christmas Eve than I am on Christmas Day.
It's the anticipation.
And it's quiet.
And then once it's here...
It gets calm, right?
Yeah. I love that, though. I love the quiet on Christmas Eve. It's so wonderful.
And I you know, Christmas Eve day, I'm running around and doing all sorts of stuff. I got to make sure I get to, you know, I go to Mass on Christmas Eve, and then I stop and get my Stromboli's at Pinocchio's. And so there's a sweet spot around 8 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve. It's almost like the quiet of a snowstorm. You're like,
was it Nebuchadnezzar that brought Jesus a cannoli or a Stromboli?
A Stromboli.
Yeah.
It was a Stromboli.
It was a Stromboli.
It was Nebuchadnezzar.
But the baby Jesus, a Stromboli. The King of Kings.
What is this again?
Casey, I'm kind of in the same boat. I never really get into the Christmas spirit, but I have an idea for you.
Okay.
Are you going to the game on Sunday?
It's in Los Angeles, so...
Oh, my God. Why did I think it was a home game?
Are you sending me to L.A.?
Yes!
Ladies and gentlemen...
God,
that's
a
miracle!
Yeah!
Wow! Holiday activities. You...
shouldn't have.
One of the producers on the Preston and Steve Show presented Casey with the greatest gift of all. From Touchstone Pictures, you're going to see the Eagles in L.A.
Oh, my God. Aw, Casey.
And you're going to Disneyland.
My brother's going out there to the game. He did one of the packages. And going out.
Oh. Marissa, have you ever been to the Taj Mahal?
My idea was so fun. Well, I was going to say it's so fun to be down at the stadium around Christmas time because everybody dresses up.
Let's go to the stadium
and hang out.
Hello. Ho, ho, ho.
This is really getting me into the spirit. Oh, I wrote it in my calendar wrong. I'm doing a holiday activity tonight. Do you want to go?
I got to work. I'm doing a holiday activity, too, at Duffer's Pub in Glen Mills.
Well, listen, Casey, he already did, Love Park and Dilworth Plaza and all that stuff. And that should, if you're teetering on the edge, should get you in the mood because it's so festive right now with the lights and everything and all the booths and stuff open. It's pretty cool. But
yeah. Honestly, also, if you can do one of the, the lighting, whether you go out to on your activities list, like Shady Brook or any of the...
I have a Shady Brook pass for you if you want to.
You do. Okay. I will never go there on a weekend. I learned the hard way.
And a lot of people were talking about this past weekend waiting like... an hour and a half in line to go through. So
yeah. Our friend Randy Bates also, they have their setup as well.
But you know what I do have to do is Rose Tree has their festival of lights and it's
there.
And I've driven past it. No, you're right. You're right.
There. Yeah. Delco.
Delco.
Christmas.
Yes.
Spirit.
But then a young fan just reminded Casey that he lives in Delco and could basically roll out of bed into Rose Tree Park.
And then it was all better.
Yeah, honestly, you should take Jace there because...
I'm not going to Delco. I'm just kidding.
Okay, sure. Hang on. Somebody wants to point something out. Let me go to Chris here. Hey, Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all good, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, it sounds like Casey's situation could be all like a Hallmark special.
Yes. Actually, yes. Yeah, this entire story of him could be a Hallmark
radio
special.
Radio guy, down on his luck, waiting for the Christmas miracle.
Dear God, please show me the light.
Hey, let me ask you this. Going back to the Hallmark specials, does every single one of them involve love?
Yes.
Yeah, because
every single one of them, they are romantic holiday specials.
Okay.
Because the demographic is women, so they're sitting there and they want to watch some love story. Yes, and Steve, of course.
Yeah.
So by the Casey way, that wouldn't work for you.
You know, like all of those CDs that are out on the kitchen table, yeah, are like Christmas CDs. Basically,
yes, I grabbed like seven of them just in case. But I found some perfect music to use.
I grabbed a Hendrix one. I'm like, ooh, a Hendrix Christmas. I know, yeah.
Hey, and I wonder if part of you not being in the spirit is because it's not decorated here. Is it getting decorated?
I didn't even realize that Pierre hasn't done anything yet.
No, it's pretty late, too.
We have an elf in the other room, and he's saying that it's not on the schedule yet.
I'm shocked.
That's really late.
I'm shocked. It normally does happen earlier than this, right?
Well, it's probably happening soon.
No, but I mean, normally, it usually happens.
Last year, he did it a little bit late again, and it was right around now, but the years prior to that, it was decorated already.
Mm. I think you're right. It's because I remember having to step over that crap for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see about that. But anyhow, Case, hope it catches you soon.
Me too.
I'm trying to get there, too. I'm not quite there yet either, but it'll come along. So if you missed it earlier, we did we had a special. It was Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove. And do you want to air it again before the show ends today, do you think?
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved it. Starring Gary Lauer and Sarah Parker and Kathy Romano, narrated by Max Walker.
What a voice.
And so we will have to play that again for you. But in the meantime, let's spread some Christmas love with invitations to the Christmas Miracle live broadcast. It is 1 week away. A week from today, we will be at Parks Casino in the amazing Excite Center. And what's great is we're going to be turning a lot of people on to this if you haven't seen that yet, that venue. If you're at least 21 years of age and you know everything about our radio show and you can join us for this, then you should call right now. We'll take seven callers at 215-263-WMMR. Check-in starts at 6 a.m., so keep that in mind. Only you will be eligible to be participating in our contest if you're randomly chosen. from the crowd. But we will have your guest sitting there with us with other opportunities to win things, including the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Competition. So wear an ugly sweater.
Yes.
And you might walk away with some prizes. And there are some pre-parties that are coming up. There's one on Saturday where you could win a Miller Lite Ugly Sweater. And it's at the Octoraro Hotel and Tavern, 2 South 3rd Street, Oxford, $2 Miller Lite bottles. And then Marissa hosts the final party. And that is on Tuesday, the Blue Cross River Rink, 8 to 10 p.m. And she will be giving away invites to the Christmas Miracle broadcast. 10 of them to give away, by the way.
So if you stop and think about it, I mean, obviously, we appreciate you playing and trying to call in when we announce these things, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But if you're very, very passionate, and you think you have just a wealth of knowledge about the show, it might behoove you to go to one of these two events.
Yep.
Because you're playing against less people to get a shot at getting the invite.
Yes, but the only invites are going to be at Marissa's event.
At Marissa's. Okay, yeah, just
you can
the
win
one, the
ugly sweaters
one.
At the other one. All the right. only invites will be at Marissa's event. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Stay with us. By the way, Word of the Week prize this week, 4-pack of pit tickets for MMRBQ. We'll get to that at the end of the show. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A lot of comments on the Instagram picture from with Gary Lauer and Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove. A lot of people did not know what Gary looked like, so they were surprised to see him in that. And that's not his body, I think, right?
No, that's not his body.
It's his face.
Yeah. You know, Nick Murphy had to look a long while to find something that...
That would match?
That would match.
Yeah.
And found it.
By the way, anybody notice that they brined the roads last
yes.
night? Did you see that?
I did.
Why?
I don't know.
There was a story floating around, and one of the news channels had it, about are they over-brining the roads. I've seen them.
I don't know, but they usually do it when there's a threat of not just flurries,
yeah.
but snow. And right. so I'm driving down the Schuylkill, and I see the lines, and I'm like,
huh?
And I didn't see it on the Blue Route. I just saw it on 76. And why did they go and do that?
And you know what? This isn't the first time that I've seen it, though, and been a little bit confused as to why it's out there. Now, I have noticed, I guess last year I noticed that they were brining the roads well before they used to. So would it last? Would it be in anticipation for the rain that's coming?
I don't know.
No, because it's going to be warming up. It's 45 today. It's 50 tomorrow. It's 51 on Saturday. That's when it rains. And the low temperatures are not even really getting into the 30s. So, I mean, you don't put it down Why? Unless you're threatening if it gets below 32 degrees.
The most treacherous ice, though, is 60 degree ice.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a little known.
Little known. Some people call it water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't brine the roads when we had that, like, freak snowstorm last month, did they?
I think they did. I remember seeing it. Yeah.
It was like, listen, if they're taking precautions that end up making it safer on the roads, that's fine. But yeah. it was, and I forget what channel had it, but there was a story about are they being a little too overly cautious with this?
I don't know. I just remember when I saw it, I'm like, did I get the forecast wrong? Am I incorrect about that?
No.
I check, double check, and I'm like, no.
Not only is it going to be warm, it's going to be raining. Yeah. So it'll be, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up something, Steve, that I know you personally had an issue with. And I think this is, it's not necessarily new, but it might be a little more prevalent because of some particular Christmas lights that have been sold.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I saw a story out of, where was this? This is out of Michigan, I think, that there have been multiple news reports, not only in this particular community, but around the country, reporting that animals have been causing issues, and squirrels in particular, with chewing up Christmas lights, or not necessarily chewing them up. So the ones that you have, Steve,
they look like little acorns.
They're like tiny bulb. The bulbs are not the full size classic Christmas light, but they're smaller and they have that shape, and that the squirrels are mistaking them for acorns.
So I have, we have a fence for the first time, you know, now around the perimeter of the house. It looks nice. It came out great. It's like, oh, great. This is another thing for me now to decorate with lights. So I strung lights around the front of the house, and I got these because I didn't want huge bulbs. I wanted just sort of like accent light along the perimeter of the fence. And so I strung it around, and it's, you know, it's, it looks great. I'm used to cheap lights going out, but there was just one particular part of the strand on Monday night, I noticed, was out. Like a space of lights was out. Like, son of a bitch, how cheap are these things? And then I saw a story, this story about the squirrels, when the lights are off, and I have it on a you know, the timer. So the timer will, you know, when it gets, when dusk falls or comes around, the light sensor picks up on it and turns the lights on. So the power was off to the lights.
Mm-hmm.
But when the lights are off, they just look like regular little tiny acorns.
Yep.
And so the squirrels, and it makes perfect sense. I see squirrels running along the edge of the fence all the time.
Right.
And I went and saw there appears to be a fray at that part of the lights.
I need to see what these lights look like, because I thought, you know, listen, they're squirrels. They're not that smart, but they have like an intuitiveness to them that they would know that this is food or this is not food. And so I know that there was a problem with squirrels and wiring in cars, and
getting out from underneath.
Yeah, I don't decorate my house with cars, though.
No, you shouldn't. But there was a certain make of car that I don't know if it was a spray that they used on the wiring or the plastic coating that they used around the wiring.
I remember this. Yeah,
that attracted squirrels, and they were and it was. One make of car. It wasn't happening on Subarus, and it wasn't happening on Nissans. It was happening on Hondas. And I wonder if this is the actual reason why this is happening to these lights and not the actual shape of the light.
I've had an ongoing battle with the squirrels in my neighborhood. But this,
are they attacking your decorations?
No, but not my Christmas decorations, my Halloween decorations and fall decorations, which makes sense. They eat through the pumpkins. Even not the jack-o'-lanterns, like a regular pumpkin. Eat through it and dig holes through it. But I have never heard of them eating wires. So did you have to replace the whole strand?
No, there's just a part of the strand that's out. So, but I mean, you know, either what I can do is do a patch with a shorter strand. I mean, I got the longest that they had to run around. But what I'm going to do is probably just take that out, because I always buy now like four sets of the lights, so I have backups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I might just do that. But it's a pain in the ass. I'm like, it's just like a random spot in this long run for the lights to go out. You know, usually they just all go out.
There's not much that I like about Christmas lights. Setting them up.
Yes.
They look nice. I went out last week it was like 2 weeks ago to put the lights up in. And I hate hanging them in the trees. I can't stand hanging them in the trees. I'd rather do the shrubbery and things like that. It's a little lower. So I'm like, I got the extending rod. I'm going to try this out. I'm out front, and the first set of lights that I go to put up in the tree. Not that. I was on the ground at this point.
Oh, all right. She had the extender. Yeah, you're good.
But what I didn't know is the extender was caught on a small branch. And I'm moving it forward, and I'm like, ah, damn it. And I move it, and it lets go. And this freaking branch, like a bullwhip, comes flapping around, hit me right underneath my eyeball.
Jesus.
Whap! I mean, it was like getting smacked in the face. And I just stood there, and I just paused for a moment, and I just let the sting burn. And I'm going, yep.
Merry Christmas.
Haven't even gotten one in the tree yet. Yep. It's already off to the races.
I do more ground game now. I do stuff that the only thing I get up on the ladder for is the 14-foot tree, the Balsam Hill tree, out next to my Santa. So I have a little Santa in the living room scenario, and that's what I set up with the trains and all that stuff outside. And so that's as high as I go, because I think at that point, you can keep, you know, it's easier to just do it. And you're less likely to die and electrocute yourself. But the squirrels.
But the trees look so nice.
They do look nice. They look nice.
Did you get your retro Santa you were looking for? The giant retro
Father
Santa?
Christmas? He is on his way.
Oh, you found it.
I did. Okay. Hopefully he will show up and we'll see what he's like in person.
Okay.
You know, sometimes what you've been promised. I have to say, you know, as a Hallmark movie, Christmas movie fan, the Balsam Hill stuff is actually really good. It tends to be a little bit more expensive, but it's built better.
What's it called?
Balsam Hill.
Balsam Hill.
That's my, so I've got my eye on a Balsam Hill artificial tree.
Wait till after the holidays.
Right. If the price goes down, it's still available and it does go on sale, I'm going artificial.
Earlier this week, I was at a hardware store and
hardware store?
Yeah, it was at Ace Hardware in Harleysville and they had this really cool metal open sleigh out in front. Like, you know.
I love that.
Wait,
was it a one horse open sleigh?
It was a one horse open sleigh. And I'm like, wow, that would look really nice. That would, you know, and it wasn't crazy expensive. That would look really nice out front. And I'm like, are you out of your freaking mind? Where are you going to put that thing for 11 months out of the year? It was huge.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. That's part of the reason why I don't go all out, because when it's not out there, you gotta find a place
to store that crap.
Yeah.
I saw a giant one at Home Goods. It was so pretty and it was huge. And I had the same thought. I was like, that would be so cool on my front lawn. I could decorate. Like, I loved it. And then I thought, okay, but then you're going to take up half your basement with it.
If you could get one that you can take apart, that's cool.
It would be.
Or the one that the squirrels won't eat.
Yep. So squirrels are apparently a bit of a problem. So keep that in mind. I think it's like the C7 or C5 size lights that you have.
Yep.
And those are the ones that they go after.
Tiny ones, when they're off, they look like little acorns, little pine cones or whatever.
Well, Press, I can't remember. Is this the first Christmas with the puppies?
No, we got them right before Christmas last year.
Okay.
Can you go to Bill?
What line is he on?
He is on six.
There we go. Yes. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Preston. What's up?
Yeah, bud. So you got a tip on the squirrels.
Yeah. What's happening with a lot of auto products? They're using soybean-based wiring now.
So do you think that's what they're using on the Christmas wires?
Steve, I'll tell you what. There's a product called Critter Ritter. I had $900 damage on my Ford Focus because they got up under the wheel well and ate all the wiring.
All right.
Yeah.
So. What's Critter Ritter?
What's Critter Ritter?
It's a grenade.
It's a spray you can buy at like Ace Hardware or...
They're tiny landmines, Steve.
All right.
I lost a leg.
So you spray it on whatever wiring, and it becomes unappetizing to them.
Yeah, they just don't like the smell of it.
All right, maybe I'll spray, when I reset these, maybe I'll spray Critter Ritter on it, or just glue pictures of John Ritter to all of them.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, there you go. That'll work, right? Yeah,
appreciate it.
There too.
All right, let me see if Christian has a similar thing he's going to mention. Hey, Christian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So the reason that the animals like the wire is because of fallow.
And what is fallow?
Fallow is an extruded animal fat derivative that's used to lubricate wiring as it goes into the plastic.
You mother effer.
Interesting.
So they don't even tell us that. So you think that this is probably prevalent in long strands of Christmas lights, correct?
Christmas lights, car wiring, any type of electrical wire that goes into a plastic conduit, they use the animal fat to lubricate the wire.
All right.
Goes in to the electrical.
So we have a transformer right on the corner. I'm going to run cable down to my fence. Because it's all connected.
Just electrify the whole thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it. Casey, you were right about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't know it was called fallow, but I was hypothesizing that it wasn't that the lights look like acorns, that it was that this...
Something's appetizing.
Well, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Does knowing that help get you in the Christmas spirit?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Right. Critter Ritter, Steve. You got to go get that.
I will get Critter Ritter.
Yeah.
All right. There was an interesting phenomenon that I was not familiar with. I know this time of year, sometimes you'll get like ice storms and they cover the trees. I mean, listen, trees can come down because they weigh too much.
Yes.
But you have to admit the beauty of it is,
oh my God,
pretty amazing when that happens. But there's...
I'll take some, you know, collateral damage if it means a pretty Listen.
That'll get you in the holiday spirit.
That'll get you in the holiday spirit.
So, but there's another phenomenon, which I think you've seen before, and it's not quite when you get an ice storm, which usually is caused by, like, freezing rain,
yep,
and things get really, really heavy. There's, and I kid you not, it's called hoarfrost.
Stop
hoarfrost.
It.
Yes.
What?
Hoarfrost. Only horror sped H-O-A-R.
Now, horror. You know Dancer and Prancer and Comet. But do you recall, what is it, hoarfrost?
Hoarfrost. Yes, and it's caused by frozen water vapor formed during clear nights when fog develops while temperatures are below freezing. And whenever these two temperatures meet, fog is likely to form as, well, when temperatures are in the teens and the dew point is also in the teens, when those two temperatures meet, fog is likely to form as water vapor is condensed. There's a unique occurrence, though, when the temperatures are below freezing, which creates a type of frost known as hoarfrost.
There's the Saigon whore that bit my nose off!
So it is a lot more ethereal looking.
It's beautiful.
Wow.
And so
Santa, your zipper's down. Have you been with hoarfrost again?
Instead of that kind of glassy appearance that an ice storm will create, this is more white and very billowy looking.
It looks spun almost like a fine hair.
Yeah. So the water vapor that becomes...
It actually looks like the lead singer of Whitesnake.
The water vapor that becomes condensed is held in a state that keeps it in liquid form. These super-cooled water droplets remain liquid while suspended in the air until they come into contact with a solid object that is below freezing. And once they make contact with trees, power lines, and so on, the water droplets instantly freeze and they crystallize, becoming a solid white, attaching itself to the surface of the object.
Have you ever seen this in person, Preston?
Not that I can recall. Maybe, but I don't remember. So the roads and things like that aren't affected usually unless there's freezing drizzle. So this just covers all the other layers and you end up with hoarfrost.
Hoarfrost? Yes. You can probably see it at Hooker Wonderland.
Yeah, maybe. or Sex Island or Sex whatever that was we were talking about.
So, you know, this actually happens also in, like, industrial freezers, they said.
Hoarfrost?
Yeah, I guess because of... The temperature and then opening the door and the humidity and all of that.
Okay, I could see that.
Cost you $20.
fog can form any time that the air temperature reaches the dew point temperature, even when below freezing. As for the term hoar,
yes,
it comes from the old. It comes from an old English word har.
Oh,
meaning gray, vulnerable, old, venerable, or old, not vulnerable. The term was chosen as it is meant to express the resemblance of the white feathers of frost to an old man's beard, per dictionary.com.
So there's no whores and prostitute or...
Right.
Okay, that's...
No loose woman.
Loose woman with sores and missing teeth.
Is engaging in sex for money.
For money,
right.
And or beer.
No. They do that for beer?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Give me one of the nice frosty whores.
The frost doesn't tend to stick around long, especially if sunshine is present during the day, and it will usually melt within a matter of a few hours after sunrise.
You're probably getting this pre-dawn then.
Yes.
And exactly. Just for a little while after.
Yeah, so you get whore frost. Which, anybody who plays golf, sometimes
there's whores there, too.
There's whores all over the course.
I'll meet you on the 10th hole.
No, they have a, there's usually a frost delay in some times of the year. And you can't play when there's frost on the ground. I'm wondering if it's horse frost. But you have to wait usually a couple of hours before it passes.
Do you ever, when you're playing golf, get stuck in a slut trap?
No. Not that I know of, but
it's
maybe
like the hoarfrost.
I was never aware of hoarfrost, so it very could well be that I was stuck in a slut trap at some point. I don't really know.
It's an unfortunate name for something that looks really beautiful.
It's gorgeous, yeah. Let me see. What else did I want to mention to you guys?
Are you the mentioner now?
Yeah. I'm the mentioner. Oh, Jesus. Is that what
we're
I need
all
now?
About labels on this show.
Well, no, I'm trying to keep things in the the holiday.
Oh, see, I know what you're doing, you crafty. You're trying to get Casey into the holiday spirit.
I'm working it. I'm doing my best. How about this? This would be an interesting gift. I'm curious what Kathy would think about this. So, apparently there are luxury handbags that are being made.
Ooh.
But they're being made out of Amtrak old leather train seats. Marissa's bopping her head up and down.
Oh, I love this idea.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I was trying to figure out how we could buy the Amtrak clacker and turn that into something.
Well,
what's a clacker?
So she means the flipboard at the
33rd Station. Which, did you see? It might be staying.
They're going to get rid of it. Well, there was talk about them getting rid of it, but there've been such a an outcry from people who want it to stay that they're considering keeping it there. And the reason Marissa called it a clackboard is when it flips over and updates everything. Goes clack, 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 clack.
I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm a sucker for, like, anything nostalgic and, of course, anything like the city. Like, a few years ago, they tried to do love statues out of the stone from Love Park. And, like, this, like, getting a handbag that was an Amtrak seat. I think that's so cool.
And just to know that so many strangers' asses were rubbing all over. Right?
I knew you guys. I knew you and Kathy.
No.
You said luxury handbags. Who's making them?
All right, I'll read you the story. Amtrak is apparently taking an interest in sustainability. The company is teaming up with People for Urban Progress, an Indianapolis-based nonprofit that specializes in developing recycled product to upcycle 6,080 leather seat covers from 20 retired Acela Express train cars into bags. This will result in approximately 2,500 units, which will be released in small quantities over the next year. The second batch was launched this past month, or actually not this past Monday, but the one before, and includes the Conductor Weekender, which is $435, the Agent Backpack, which is $385, Passenger Tote at $185, and the Dispatcher Dop Kit at $75.
They're pricier. They're not exorbitant.
They're not ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to see what they looked like, but my guess is I'd pass on this.
I bought for Rochelle a couple of years ago a bag that was made out of recycled army tent, like canvas tenting.
Oh, that's cool.
It wasn't green like you know, the olive drab that you know.
Sure.
But it was a couple different colors, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Do you ever, I used as a kid, even though I was a teenager, go to the Army Surplus store.
Oh, I did too, Steve.
I freaking loved it.
I did too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know where they are anymore.
Do they exist?
Oh, they do.
Oh, they're just, where did I see one? I think maybe it's in the Springfield Mall. They might
is
have
it?
One now. Yeah.
Preston, you know, I mean, clothes,
military
knives,
insignia,
a little shovels,
all kinds of
anything,
stuff.
Anything, buy. Yeah.
I bought a decommissioned incendiary bomb.
Oh, really?
It was orange. I had kept it forever, and it was, you know, it had a hole drilled in the side of it. Clearly, it was not a bomb anymore. But Steve, it was about 3 feet long.
That's wild.
I took it to school for show and tell one time.
Did you ever entertain the notion of making it incendiary again?
No. I didn't consider that, but maybe I could have.
Thanks for the help. That could have been your experiment for science class. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I brought three things. Peacoat.
Okay.
Sailor pants.
Nice.
And the jumpsuits we used for Drunk Day Double Dare like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. There is a Army Navy surplus shop in Springfield Mall in Delaware County.
Is that right?
It's called Sergeant Ben.
Sergeant Ben.
In the mall?
Inside the mall.
So they would always be standalones. So there's one in the very scenic and lovely, lovely town of Northport, Long Island. Uh-huh. But I used to go down to that place all the time. It was great.
I loved because my dad was in the Army, and he had, I don't know what you call it, but that the sack, you know, the clothes sack.
Duffel bag.
What's that called?
Duffel bag.
The duffel bag. Mm-hmm. I love that thing. I used that all the time when I was in the Boy Scouts. That's how I would pack.
We had my old dad's duffel bag. Yeah,
it had
his name on the side, printed on the side.
Mm-hmm. Did he have a footlocker? He hang on to that?
No, he never. But you know what? Chuck D'Amico's dad, I believe. That was like, you know, because his mom passed away a little over a year ago, and I think that was like the one thing. That she had held on to that.
The Foot Locker?
The Foot Locker.
Wow.
That was the one thing that he wanted.
I remember as a kid, one of my prized possessions was the G.I. Joe Foot Locker. You remember that?
Yeah, totally.
That's where and it was to scale.
I wonder, you know, because we were talking about the other day, Casey taking old T-shirts and turning them into, you know, quilts and blankets. And I had mentioned something about taking old coffee mugs and maybe making them into a mosaic of some type. I bet you could take, you know, the duffel bag. I'm sure you wouldn't want to destroy it, but if it... No longer, if you just sit somewhere and it's not there, not used anymore, it's stuffed away somewhere, you could probably get that repurposed into something.
Probably.
That could be used.
So, you know, did you ever see an ammo case?
Yes. Yeah. I used to have a bunch of them. I actually used to carry ammo.
Oh, no kidding.
When we go hunting or when we go skeet shooting.
Yeah, but you your bombs wouldn't work.
You know how they're waterproof, right? Uh-huh. That's what, when I went on that Grand Canyon trip, the boat through on the Colorado River.
Used ammo cases?
We used ammo cases.
For what would you store in them?
So we had our river bags, and that's what you put all your clothes and all that stuff. And then ammo cases, whatever you didn't want to put in the river bag, something that you didn't want crushed or something like that. So all of my electronics, you know, my phone, extra battery packs, and all that stuff went into went into the ammo case. And then those all got strapped down onto the boat, and those acted as seats on the boat. It was super, super efficient the way they packed the boat up.
There used to be a huge I. Goldberg's on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, and my parents used to just take us there on Saturdays, and my brother and I would just play Army in the store.
So I. Goldberg's is great. Yeah.
Yeah, they just closed the one in the city. It's now Wawa, but apparently they're relocating. I don't know. I hope they do, because they have so much cool stuff.
All right, this might be a stupid question. Do they still make G.I. Joe?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
No?
Maybe not.
Not that I know of. I haven't seen them, and I've... You know, boys, so I would have noticed that when they were growing up, if they were marketing G.I. Joes.
But I used to have some. Anymore. You probably, I don't know, you know, I'm
maybe
older than you
can get them retro wise, but
I used to get the, it was the tall, like the
larger
the larger G.I. Joes, and then they made the smaller ones.
I remember my brothers had a gazillion of the smaller ones and all of the vehicles and everything that came with it. I just asked because I was thinking that might be a good gift for Jace, but I haven't seen them or heard about them in a while.
Did you find them?
I don't know. I mean, there's like links to toy stores, but maybe they're older or just
absolutely. Look, that's $45. There's no way.
Okay.
No. So those must be like vintage ones that you can buy.
What about when the movies had come out?
They had figures, but they had figures based on, like, if you're talking about actual straight up military, because the original G.I. Joes were G.I.s and they had the Foot Locker and they had the appropriate weaponry and they had all that stuff. And then they even had German G.I. Joes that were the enemy.
Yep, exactly. Interesting.
It's all based on World War II.
All right. Anyhow, I just thought I'd mention that if you're looking for something unique, they have now taken Amtrak train seats and made them into old. They've taken the old leather seats and made them into bags.
I'd like to see do it conversely and take old pocketbooks and make them into trains.
That'd be pretty cool.
Now I would ride that train.
All right. I'm hearing on Goldberg's is now at 7th and Chestnut.
Okay.
So all right. Good. And apparently there's a big Army Navy store in Potsdam. People are texting about that too. All right, we should take a break. I want to do that very thing and come back in just a moment or two because we've got some Bizarre File stories. Love to share those with you. And before the show is up today, it's an encore performance of Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove starring Gary Lauer and company. So if you missed it earlier, we'll have that coming up in a bit. It's our Hallmark Christmas special. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve.
MMR's Day Off on the Slopes at Jack Frost Mountain is Friday, January 4th. Celebrate winter with the best lift ticket deal out there, along with the Pierre Robert live broadcast and a legendary happy hour with Jackson, live from the E2000 Lounge. MMR VIPs, listen up. The price is still way cheap, but it's a little different this year. The sooner you buy your lift tickets, the less you pay. Now through December 17th, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last. WMMR.com has the details. MMR's Day Off on the Slopes. Sip, ski, and be merry. Friday, January 4th at Jack Frost Mountain from JFBB, where the snow comes first, and 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I got some stories for you, y'all. The Bizarre File, by the way. Hang on a second. Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Okay, so in Houston, Texas, a school field trip to the Holocaust Museum was met with one big obstacle in the road. There was a gigantic, this is according to a student named Sydney, said a gigantic blue thing rolling down the highway and went from the left side to the right side. About 25 students from the Miris Academy were with teachers and the principal Friday morning when the driver of an 18-wheeler lost a gigantic blue spool that fell off the back of it.
Oh, my God.
And I normally wouldn't report on this, but this is the third time in 3 months that this has happened in and around Houston, that a giant spool has been rolling down the highway.
Might be time to secure those spools a little better.
Is this similar to the spool that held me up in the very first Buxico versus Delco thing when I was... You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. When you were stopped and there was a truck in front of you.
There was a
We didn't see the truck, but yeah, it's probably the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Was the spool out on the road?
Oh, yeah. They crushed the car and held us up in traffic.
Still oh, that's... That. Yes. You're right, yeah.
So the...
Such an a-hole.
The student said the bus driver let out a loud yell.
Let's focus on what's important.
Asterix.
They said the asterix.
Under her win, you know, it's kind of like Barry Bonds and his home run.
Because of the accident in the Giants pool. Yeah. I got you. Okay. All right. So anyhow, the student said the bus driver let out a loud yelp and started to slam on the brakes. I thought we were about to get in a wreck, so I braced myself and looked up, about to see a wreck going to happen. But what I saw was a gigantic spool. And apparently on October 25th, Houston drivers dodged a giant spool during lunchtime on I-10. On November 12th, drivers maneuvered around two spools near the same area on the East Freeway. And in this case, Houston police say the driver is cooperating and will likely be cited. I guess they didn't have it securely fastened down.
Yeah, you probably should.
A couple in their 70s have been detained after about 22 pounds of cocaine was found on a cruise ship returning from the U.K. or to the U.K. from the Caribbean.
Well, we just love our cocaine.
Portuguese police said that they had detained two people, aged 72 and 70, in Lisbon after information was shared with them by the U.K.'s National Crime Agency. The pair, believed to be British, were arrested on suspicion of trafficking narcotics. When the cruise ship docked in the Portuguese capital, they searched their cabin and police found 9 to 10 kilograms of the Class A drug hidden in four suitcases.
I tell you what, whoever wins this round of shuffleboard will win a speedball.
The couple who have apparently before have appeared, I'm sorry, before a judge and are being held in custody while a joint Portuguese and British investigation continues. The police said in the cabin that was occupied by the suspects, four suitcases were found in which structures were concealed a high amount of product, more specifically cocaine.
You know, it's hard to compete now that we've had a place that was doing $8 million worth of drug business right here in our backyard.
$8 million a week.
$8 million a week.
Unbelievable.
You're going to have to up your game.
Thousands of Utah state government employees last Friday perhaps became aware that Carol in Human Resources makes a mean spinach artichoke dip, or that Barry in Accounting won't be able to participate in this year's White Elephant. That's because a harmless email about an office holiday potluck gift exchange was mistakenly sent to 25,000 state workers.
Oh. Wow.
Who, by Murphy's First Law of Office Email, began replying all, asking to be taken off of the reply all thread. So the people were saying, take me off of this, were replying all, and it just, these 25,000 people
just kept going and going.
Thousands and thousands of emails filling up their inbox. Yes. According,
that sucks when that happens, when you get the reply all whole.
Yeah. According to inbox screenshots posted on social media from Utah state employees, at least one of whom updated their Twitter bio to read hashtag reply all gate victim slash survivor. The thread blazed a trail of digital mayhem. Even Utah's lieutenant governor couldn't untangle his inbox from the quickly spiraling white elephant tornado, which threatened to engulf every box in its path. He tweeted, "This is real and it's an emergency." Started out as a potluck and $5 white elephant gift exchange in one department, and someone accidentally CC'd every state employee. I fear this will never end. But it did seem to subside after a few hours. The flood of emails had slowed to a trickle within a few hours, but not before 25,000 employees found out that Stan in marketing had recently discovered his walnut allergy.
Sometimes, make sure exactly who you're addressing the email to.
Yeah, and I don't know how they managed to address all 25,000. I guess everybody is under one.
There's reply to all and then reply to all.
Yeah, we have like a Beasley all employees.
Like the entire company?
Yeah.
I guess so. Okay.
Yeah, because we get them from like the big bosses.
That's true. You're right.
Send an email out. See what happens.
Yeah, we'll do it. A Texas teen shot herself in the foot with an alleged stolen AK-47 that she had stuffed down her pants. How do you do that? Those things are huge.
They're huge.
Police responded to the scene of the shooting. They found that three teens, two 17-year-old females and a 16-year-old male, were there. Witness statements indicated that the male had taken the AK-47 from his home and that the teens were handing the gun over when one of the females accidentally pulled the trigger, shooting herself in the leg.
It's for a fraternity party. it's okay, sweetie.
I won't tell anybody. Further investigation determined that the gun had been stolen.
Oh.
And the police said we had found out since that the gun that was used was stolen in a home burglary just hours before the shooting. The girl who shot herself was in critical condition and sent to the hospital. She's being charged with unlawful carrying of a weapon and burglary of a habitation. The male was also arrested and charged with tampering with evidence and burglary. There was video that showed the girl lying in the road and her neighbors coming to assist her. She had a neighbor said she had some pretty good wounds. She blew the heel off of one foot.
Oh, my God.
Completely off. He had run out to help the girl. He was a veteran, and he said she was in excruciating pain, and she had every reason to be. She had a very severe wound, very severe. As police continue to investigate the case, they also plan to determine if the other girl was involved. So that's pretty wild. Mm. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File. We are going to wrap things up. We'll come back in a moment, and we'll get to the lesson question and more. And maybe you think we should do the...
why not?
The encore performance.
Sure.
Of the radio special called A Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove. But before we do that, we have a screening Monday of Aquaman. And I am going to take 7 callers who would like to join us on Monday starting at 7. The movie starts at 7:30. You need to be there at 7 at the UA King of Prussia IMAX screen.
That's the way to see it.
The biggest and best way we could possibly present this to you. 215-263-WMMR. 7 callers. You get it. We'll be back in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Weezer on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Fresh off the show from the Met last night. Marissa's been raving about the Met all morning long.
Yeah, not just Weezer being there and playing it and being the first rock show. The venue is spectacular. You have to see it with your own eyes. It's magnificent.
Well, I'm looking at video that that people have taken inside of there, and it just the colors and everything, it just looks gorgeous. We have a lot of great concert venues, but this one's really a little bit more on the ornate side, a little more classical looking, like an opera house, is what it is.
You think about if you've been to like the Miriam or the Academy of Music and how those are, but this is an opera house.
Difference between an ice storm and a hoarfrost.
There you go.
Exactly, yeah. Steve.
Right?
They're both beautiful.
They're both beautiful,
but one's got a little more.
I am excited, Trey, and actually, first, I'm going to see the Revivalists next month. Trey Anastasio has a new band that he's put together with members of Fish and his Trey Anastasio band.
Oh.
I think they're called Ghosts of the Forest or something like that.
All right.
I don't know any of their music, but they're going to be performing there. So I'm really, really looking
forward
to it.
Honestly, the venue can make so much of the show. Mm-hmm. And this looks phenomenal.
Oh, and there's not a bad seat in the house. I was there before the doors opened. I got to walk around in it and see all the places. So they did a GA. They took all the seats out from below. Plus, I went all the way up to the tippy top where there's a couple of bars. They have really long bars across the back where you can watch from. The sound up there is magnificent. And the view's magnificent. If there maybe is a band that you're not super into but you want to enjoy the music, you can go anywhere in this place.
Are the bathrooms magnificent?
Yes, and they're co-ed, Steve.
All right. Co-ed,
yes,
really?
Co-ed bathrooms, yeah. There are bathrooms everywhere.
Like might be a nice place to meet someone.
Oh, so they're like, were you going, you have a little private... door that closes in your that type of co-ed?
The only one that I used was an actual room. It was just a one.
They're love-seat toilets, Preston.
You could fit about 20 people in there, but it was just one.
Right. Guys hate that because now you got to wait in the girl line.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that.
Not me. I go into the alleyway.
Yeah. I always feel bad for the girl line. What's that all about? Fix that problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I miss is the Spectrum where there was the girl line, and there'd be a line on one side, and then there were stairs down, and then there were stairs up, so you could just run on the other side really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the guy line that was really short, and just sprint into a stall before anybody saw you.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, you know what? And Pierre broadcast live from there yesterday, so we'll see. We'll get his reaction.
Yeah, Pierre was recording the whole time. They did a cool medley with the Turtles and Green Day, Happy Together, into Longview, and he was recording, so he's going to have all sorts of stuff.
Cool. We'll get to him on that in a little bit. In the meantime, I want to remind you, after we get through Trash and Music News, an encore performance of the Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove.
Yes.
Starring Gary Lauer. We will do that in a moment. But I'm going to ask a lesson question. We're going to give away Omaha Steaks prize pack. What did Nebuchadnezzar bring to baby Jesus? 215-263-WMMR. What was that? What did Nebuchadnezzar bring to baby Jesus? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. And while you're calling in, we will do the Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Longwood Gardens. Visit a Longwood Christmas now through January 6th. And timed tickets are required at longwoodgardens.org. Kathy, was that one of your...
So it wasn't on my list, but I did go there, and it's just beautiful. It was on my list last year.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, rumors flying that Coldplay frontman Chris Martin and girlfriend Dakota Johnson might be getting engaged or even eloping over the holidays. Martin says his kids with Gwyneth Paltrow absolutely adore Dakota, or he hits them.
Oh, my God.
Pro golfer Dustin Johnson and his super hot wife, Paulina Gretzky, the only passengers on a private jet which took them to an Aspen vacation. Johnson, who fancies himself quite the romantic, says that throughout the flight, he kept his boner in an upright position.
Hey!
And finally, Amy Duggar King of the very wholesome Duggar family says that despite the family's image, she and her husband have wild sex. Amy says that just last week, she and her husband performed a dirty saltine and ate crackers in bed.
Oh, my God.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
That's living on the edge.
That's really living on the edge.
All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. What did Nebuchadnezzar bring baby Jesus? 215-263-WMMR. That is a number. And we'll see if you can get it correct. Hang on one second. I am going to go to Cork. Cork, are you there?
Hey, good morning.
Is it Cork or is it Kirk?
No, it's Cork, like in a bottle.
There okay. you go.
Sounds like the comedian Cork. Are you the comedian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Hey. I don't know Cork the comedian.
He tweets at us and stuff like that.
Oh, got it.
Yay. All right. Nice guy.
Cork, do me a favor. Tell me what Nebuchadnezzar brought baby Jesus.
Cannoli.
We would accept that or Stromboli.
Because you said both, so.
Yes. Yep, hang on a second, Cork. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you an Omaha Steaks prize pack. Buy this great package at omahasteaks.com for only $49.99, and you can use a special discount code Preston for that. All right, we're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Don Stamos.
And this morning is brought to you by Worldwide Stereo. Wrap a little funtertainment this year. See Worldwide Stereo's awesome gift guide at worldwidestereo.com, or you can head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. The members of Greta Van Fleet told Billboard in a new interview that the quartet's plans for 2019 include writing and recording new music, despite the fact the band's first full-length album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army, just came out in October. Asked about the group's plans for the new year, bassist Sam Kiska said, a lot more writing. Getting some stuff recorded and start working on the next thing.
Almost seems like they're making up. Well, it's not exactly lost time, but they're now trying to build up a library.
Pressed if that meant that they would release new music next year, drummer Danny Wagner joked, "Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll quit if we don't." While there is no timeline to release new material, the band members claim that they have been writing songs since the day they finished recording "Anthem of the Peaceful Army" and have completed several new tracks. "Anthem of the Peaceful Army" opened at number 3. On the Billboard 200 chart back in October. Dave Grohl, Duff McKagan, and Flea are among the artists who will participate in interviews for Punk, a documentary series being produced for the Epix cable channel that aims to tell the quintessential story of the punk movement. Iggy Pop will serve as executive producer, and it'll be a four-part series, and it will also include interviews with the Sex Pistols' John Lydon, Blondie's Debbie Harry and Chris Stein, Marky Ramone, the MC5's Wayne Kramer, Dead Kennedys, Jello Biafra, and more.
Mm.
A statement from Epix said about the series featuring original interviews with America's punk pioneers and the UK's most notorious bands, alongside a seamless blend of rare and unseen photos, gritty archival film and video, a crackling soundtrack of punk hit and misses. Punk explores the music, the fashion, the art, and the DIY attitude of a subculture of self-described misfits and outcasts. Yes, it will appear premiere on Epics March 11, 2019.
Well, there's always room for Jello Biafra, right?
Yeah, always room. And...
That was just dumb enough, man. Thank you.
I just hear a wheeze laugh from Daisy. First, Guns N' Roses. Well, no, not first. Just Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Second, Guns N' Roses.
And there's your wheeze laugh.
The word's not even written there. I don't know why it said first.
I wonder if any of us would have even noticed.
No,
how would we? First.
Let's see how I would have done.
All right. How does it end up?
Because sometimes if I'm reading commercial copy,
yeah.
I'll say a word that I didn't mean to say, but I find a way to
weave it in.
And
no,
I've been there too. Have it make sense.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can do.
All right.
I'm not going to look at this until I cast my eyes down, and I'll try it again. Let's see if I can get through this. All right. First, Guns N' Roses closed out the Not In This Lifetime reunion tour with their first ever concert in Hawaii on December 8th. And then the band's extended final show at Aloha Stadium lasted almost 3.5 hours. That doesn't really make sense, but I made it.
It was not bad. You could have finessed that in, and we would not have been any the wiser.
Second, although Guns N' Roses have not given any indication of the band's plans beyond this tour, Axl Rose seemed to hint at a future for them during the encores, telling the crowd, "Thank you very much for the last couple of years, and we hope to keep this thing running so that we can see what happens next. We had to get through this first, and you helped us do that. We can't do what's next until we finish this."
Sadly, slash.
So, we don't know, but that's it for this particular run, and they'd be stupid if they didn't get back out there and do it again. There's a lot of money to be made.
Oh, absolutely.
And Steve pointed out there's this picture of Mickey Rourke and Axl Rose. I guess he went to go see them, maybe, and it's a picture of the two together. And the caption says that they look like two lesbian owners of a shop called
Karen and
Lexi or something.
Yeah, yeah,
I forgot what it was. And the surgery, the cosmetic surgery, the bad cosmetic surgery that the two of these guys have had done is just...
Good Lord.
It's caught up with
them,
man.
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
No.
Holy.
Mickey Rourke used to be a heartthrob. Remember that 9.5 weeks, right? That was pre-50 Shades sexual. It was just the thing. Women swooned.
Yeah.
And he has just brutalized his face.
All right, well, what, I mean, he doesn't...
He looks better as Death Row Marv than he looks as himself.
Yeah.
All right, hang on a second. Am I thinking of the same guy? Who is the wrestler?
That's Mickey Rourke.
Wrestler.
That doesn't look like him.
I know.
Yeah,
her,
that's...
It looks like her.
He does honestly have a very feminine look about him.
And Axl Rose looks like he left you $5 for good grades on your report card.
Yeah. Thanks, Grandma.
Oh, it's nothing.
So,
now, who wants some Jell-O Biafra?
Look that up if you like. Marissa just pulled up the 2019 Rock Hall inductees, so we'll have that information. Oh. It was coming out today. What the hell?
It just came out a few minutes ago.
Well, I will reveal that after I get through these next couple of stories. How about that?
All right.
Despite...
That was good for one while I'm still here.
Right, then.
Despite it being over 30 years since his last full-on solo project and years of hints and vague promises, Jimmy Page maintains that 2019 will finally be the year that he releases new original music. He said, "Yes, you'll definitely be getting stuff from Jimmy Page. I can guarantee that." We're pressed about the upcoming Zeppelin projects, tying in with next year's 50th anniversary. He said, "I've always got things in mind. I've always got things as a schedule of release over a period of time. I've never been actually any different. And obviously, I would have ideas of things or projects which would go ahead. But, you know, it all takes time. So at the moment, we've got this book out. So that's really brilliant, but who knows what may come further on down the line." So he's being...
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, the Zeppelin thing, whatever.
Yeah.
I think they're tired of hearing about it, and I am too, to be honest.
Yeah.
One last thing, and then we'll get to the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. Keith Richards has revealed that, barring the occasional glass of wine or bottle of beer, as he creeps up to 75, he's essentially sober. Richards, whose primary poison for years... Listen to this. This is what he mainly has drank all these years. Stoli and Sunkist.
orange juice and Stoli?
Well, Sunkiss, is that orange juice or
yeah,
is that
like
the...
It's
orange soda. Yeah.
No, I was thinking of Sunny D.
Oh, that's
soda?
What I was thinking too.
Yeah, Sunkiss is orange soda.
Is orange soda.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Sunkiss. That's interesting.
And he's probably, maybe he has like a orange flavored Stoli.
Maybe. He said, it's been about a year now. I pulled the plug on it.
It's actually healthy for you.
I got fed up with it, and it was time to quit, just like all the other stuff. When asked if it was an adjustment for him, Richards laughed and said, you can call it that, yeah. But I don't notice any difference, really, except for I don't drink. I wasn't feeling right. I've done it. I don't want that anymore. It was interesting to play sober. But it says here he'll have an occasional drink every once in a great while. But he's just, the thrill of drinking is gone for him.
No, he's done with it. It's all about the drugs now.
And in fact, guitarist Ron Wood said, and Ron's been sober since 2010. He said, it just wasn't working anymore. You know, I think the Keith that we used to know and love had this cutoff point where if he had one more, he'd go over the top, and then he'd be nasty. Well, that cutoff point became shorter and shorter, and, you know, he realized that. So,
all right.
I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Wood added that he's felt the difference in the way the two guitarists interact musically on stage. He said, we're weaving guitar parts a lot more conscientiously now, and we're more aware of the gaps and spaces in between. We're in our 70s, but we rock like we're 40-year-olds.
Did Keith ever do rehab?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. He's just kind of getting tired of it.
Yep.
All right. So, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. Marissa has just pulled this up.
Exciting.
Yeah, so...
Or sort of exciting.
The following bands are officially going to be inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. How cool is this? The Cure is going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What was that?
That's accidental hitting.
All right.
Harp release is terrible.
No, The Cure is going to be
I love The Cure. I've seen The Cure many times in concert.
That's great. I'm very happy about that. Joining The Cure will be, and we knew this was going to happen, Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to play music from each one of these? I'm sorry,
Case. I got some ready
for
you.
Let's see how quick he is.
Def Leppard won the popular vote for people who were able, or anybody actually could...
use a computer.
...vote online, and so Def Leppard won that. Okay, now here's your head scratcher. You ready?
Yeah.
Janet Jackson, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The president of the hall explained it to us.
Okay.
I still think it's a stretch. I think that the majority of your music needs to have a guitar, an electric guitar, as the main basis of the music,
right?
Personally. But that's me. And you could argue and say, well, she had that song Black Cat. Yes, she did have that song Black Cat, but the majority of the music is not guitar-based. But whatever, it's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They can do what they want to. And she's a great performer and a great singer and the whole thing.
So that'll probably bode well for the actual award ceremony itself.
Yeah. Yes. Next, you want me to do what you have here, Casey?
Well,
I'll do that. Radiohead. Nice. Radiohead is being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
This is still my favorite Radiohead song, and Tom York himself says he's sick of playing in concert.
They've hated it for
years.
Doesn't
think it's representative of the band. Sorry, it's still my favorite.
Yeah, this is actually... I like Karma Police more than I like Creep. So there.
Now, this is a pretty good song. But Radiohead, a beloved band, and they're getting into the Rock Hall of Fame. Roxy Music.
Hey.
That's a great band. Brian Ferry, wonderful singer. And they certainly have their own sound, which is really cool. And you can hear a guy walking around. Oh, there we go. I didn't know that song had that long intro to it. But I don't know enough of their material. I know a couple of songs.
There isn't a vast volume of hits, but there's a lot of great stuff.
Yep. So Roxy Music making it in to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Starting to hit into that, into what was called New Wave and Progressive.
Yep. Then you have Stevie Nicks.
Yay!
Who's going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
She's a dynamo.
She is. Not just a performer, she's a great songwriter too, man.
It's a great song.
She's singing. Ooh, baby, ooh. What are some more of her solo?
I got one right here for you, kiddo.
Fire it up if you will, please. All right. Oh yeah, Stand Back.
Yep,
a huge hit for her.
Damn it!
And Prince is playing the keyboard on this, by the way. That's him actually playing that keyboard part.
You're learning to bend the same.
does have her own vocal style, yeah. Yes.
Would you consider Stop Dragging My Heart Around solo stuff?
Tom Petty wrote
Tom
that.
Tom Petty?
Yeah. But, you know, she certainly...
Staying on it.
Yeah. And with Leather and Lace, was that considered a...
John
Stevie...
Henley?
Yeah, I know, but was that considered a Stevie Nicks song?
I don't know. She has... God, you know, because she wrote a lot of what she's famous for in Fleetwood Mac, she wrote.
Yeah. Anyhow, she's making it in. And then the last one on the list, and I love this, the Zombies.
Oh, what do they do? Because I don't have any Zombies
music.
Well,
let me tell you about the way she looks, the way she acts, and the color of her hair.
Her eyes are clear
and bright. Her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. Stop it.
I don't know the lyrics, but I just wanted to sing along.
Join in, everybody. No, they had She's Not There.
Okay.
It was a great song.
She's Not There.
And they had a few other hits, but I can't.
They're revered amongst a lot of other bands, the Zombies.
Off the top of my head. So there you go. The Cure, Def Leppard, Janet Jackson, Stevie Nicks, Radiohead, and Roxy Music, along with the Zombies.
Should be interesting.
Oh, okay. They did this one? The
Time of the Season?
Time of the Season.
That's it. Okay.
What were you going to say, Marissa?
Time of the Season. Thank you, Google.
Oh, I like it, this song.
You happy for him?
Yeah. All right, Zombies.
All right, Zombies are in. So
you're A-OK in my book.
The 2019 induction ceremony will be taking place on March 29th next year at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, and ticket information for the ceremony will be released in January, so you can't get those as of yet. So I'm sure we'll probably do some more on those tomorrow. All right, it is time for an encore performance.
Wow.
And this is I think it's going to be a tradition.
A tradition? Yes. A family classic, if you will.
Yes, let's let it play. Here we go.
And now, Preston and Steve, in association with the Hallmark Channel, present Christmas at Cookie Cove. For driven career girl Tori Torrenson, an unexpected stop in Christmas Cookie Cove was the last thing she needed.
Hello? Hello? Is someone here? I'm an executive for a large pharmaceutical company heading to a meeting, and my car just got stuck outside of your town, Christmas Cookie Cove.
Whoops, sorry, I didn't hear you, ma'am. I was outside taking a dump in the creek.
Oh, no. Don't tell me your bathroom is broken.
No, it's working just fine. Ah, where are my manners? The name's Lauer, Gary Lauer.
Oh, my God, he's a dreamboat. Keep it together, girl.
Well, Mr. Lauer.
Please call me Stick Shift Swifty Shifty Lauer.
His sexy bugged-out eyes look like two bloodshot Christmas ornaments, and the spit spray from his mouth is creating a rainbow under his nose. I think I'm falling in love.
Well, Mr. Lauer, my car is stuck in a snowbank down on Mistletoe Road. Could you arrange to have me towed?
You know what I like? When lesbians are doing the daisy chain, and then they flip over.
Excuse me?
I said no can do. The closest tow truck is in Garland Reef, Slave Bell, Candy Cane, Nutcracker County. And with this snow, the earliest they can get here is tomorrow.
Well, then it looks like I'll be needing a room for the night at your hotel.
No problem. I'll need your name and credit card, please.
It's Tori. Tori Torrenson.
Wow. Pleased to meet you. Tori Pori Pumpkin Pie Torrenson.
Please don't do that.
Later that afternoon, Tori and Gary share some eggnog while sitting by a cozy fire.
And so, after my wife passed away, I took my daughter, Amy Fisher Lauer, and set down roots here in Christmas Cookie Cove.
I'm so sorry. Had she been sick?
No, her heart just stopped. After the train hit her, well, hit her in the car, which then exploded.
Oh, no.
And to this day, I can't help but feel that I was somehow responsible.
Oh, no, no, no. How could you be?
Well, I was the one who waved her across the train tracks. I was looking the wrong way because I was super drunk and coked up.
Well, I guess we all have regrets. You see, I feel as if my drive for a career has made me miss out on a turnkey family in a rustic small town where Christmas still matters.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I was distracted because you're nipping big time.
Soon, evening rolled around, and Christmas Cookie Cove came alive with the sights and sounds of the holidays.
Gary decided to take Tori into town for Christmas Cookie Cove's annual Christmas Cookie and Christmas Candy and Christmas Candy Cane Contest Convention and Carnival.
Oh, Gary, your town is so beautiful. I just love it.
Yeah, it is pretty great. And there's always a load of cookies.
Well, look at these two lovebirds.
Hey, Dottie, how are you? Tori, this is my Aunt Dottie. Double dip, Dottie, dot, 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 dotson.
That's that little name thing you always do. Tori, could I steal you away from Gary for just a second? Of course.
Uh-oh. You know what they say. You better set the walking when the bitches start squawking. Ladies, I'll go get us some cocoa.
Oh, he's quite a young man, Tori. But I hope you know there's more to him than just picking bits of whatever he ate out of your hair. In many ways, he's like an onion. And mostly because he smells like an onion. Yeah, he's very, very special. I think I'm hearing something in your voice more than just the sounds of general disgust. You love Gary, don't you?
Is it that obvious?
As obvious as the long and winding drool stain down the front of his sweater. You need to tell him.
You're right. I will. Thank you, Aunt Dottie.
Well, I'm back. To be honest, I forgot why I left and where I was going and where this is and who I am.
Gary, I need to tell you something. I've fallen in love with you. Now, I know it's all moving so fast, and I would understand if maybe you don't...
Stop talking and listen. I wanted you to hear that. I baked that Christmas cookie with my heart.
Oh, Gary.
And so, love had come to Christmas Cookie Cove, and soon everybody would be talking about Gary and Tori, and where Gary had more than likely buried Tori. From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
And there it is.
It's beautiful.
That's the second time I heard it. The fart still caught me off guard. Gary Lauer, Sarah Parker, and Kathy Romano, and narrated by Max Walker.
Yes.
And that is the Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove.
Beautiful.
Are you in the spirit yet, Casey?
I'm there.
That really helps.
I am there. Yeah. I am there.
And so you should be. All right, let's take one last break. We'll come back in a second and get the Lauer Day Word of the Week, Pierre, and more. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMM.
From all of us at WMMR and the Preston and Steve Show, we are so grateful to everyone who helped out with Camp Out this year. Thanks for every donation, large and small, benefiting our neighbors in need.
This year, total for Camp Out for Hunger that you brought in, $1.826 million.
Holy hell!
Camp Out would not be possible without the generosity of you, our great friends and listeners, and our partners.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
10:49, Preston and Steve's show wrapping up for the day. Paving way for an avalanche of entertainment that'll be coming your way any moment with the one and only Mr. Pierre Robert. Today was interesting with our early morning visit from Bam Margera and skateboarder Danny Way and Bam's mom April as they came in. And Bam wanted to get the word out about a party that he's having today at Castle Bam. And it's not Westchester. Where is it, Case?
Pecopson.
And, anybody and everybody can go to this as long as they have room. And it starts at noon officially. And there's all these pro skaters, including Danny, that are going to do demos. And then he's got all these bands that are performing. But you have to work. Mm-hmm. You actually have to help dismantle his skate ramps.
Yes.
And they're going to rebuild a bowl. So if you've wanted to do that, you can go by there. April was not happy at all about this. And
not
listen,
at all.
Off air, she was going on and on. She's got all these concerns and she's... not looking forward to today.
No. But Bam's like, I can do what I want.
Yeah,
you know
what he said.
Yeah,
you know. But so that's happening today, and he gave out the address and the gate code, which, like the electronic gate code. But she was getting really pissed off,
freaked about. April out. Yeah,
yeah. But anyhow, that's happening today, and Bam came by, and Danny Way as well.
It's all up on PrestonandSteve.com now. It just got up there. It's photos and the address and.
And I'm
a
not
a cool little bonus video too.
Oh yes, of the and I forgot the guy's name. It came by to sing, you know,
Mike Knapp.
Thank you,
Nappy.
That's
Nappy.
It.
Nappy.
Nappy. Nappy.
It was pretty wild because I don't know much about the world of professional skateboarding, and we were watching the videos of Danny Way. My God, some insane stuff. Insane.
Well, you know, you're seeing stuff from a distance, and he skateboarded off the Hard Rock guitar in Vegas. I guess it was in Vegas.
Yeah.
So the drop, which appears to be not that far, was like 30 feet.
Yeah. And just the drop in to get on the ramp.
Yeah.
It was like 30 feet. Unbelievable. So they're doing that stuff today. Should be pretty interesting. Pierre is indeed here. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi.
Did you have a good time at your live broadcast yesterday?
It was really fun.
Nice. At the Met.
At the Met. Everything you guys were saying earlier is true. I tried to. Marissa is so socially. Do you even see a show? I mean, she's like on her phone. It's just like, you know, and before I know it, like everything is posted on Instant Time and every single thing that there is, and apps that haven't even been devised yet. She's already on them and posting. You do it really well.
Well, thank you, Pierre. I just have fun. And you know what? If I don't post it right then and there, I forget about it. In fact, every year I do like a hashtag things from the year I haven't posted, which I'm going to start rolling out this year because I just have a wealth of stuff. Like I take a cool picture and then I sit on it because I say, I just want to enjoy the moment. I'll worry about it later. And then I'll think it's too late. Does anyone care? But so I have a whole thing in my head. So if I just get it out, then it's out.
I have those going back like 10 years.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got loads of them. I'm
going to share this because I don't know. The thing about social media that I like is that it's sort of like a little diary. Mm-hmm. You come across something, you know, that's kind of cool. You can, I'll take a picture of that and say a word about that, be it in your daily travels or, you know, at an event like that. And then all of a sudden I go, I have thousands of concert pictures. You know, and little clips of audio and moments. So anyway, she's amazing. I got a few of them, and then I took this great one of we were in this side box, and Rivers left the stage on a scooter and ran up to the balcony right below us and did Island in the Sun, just acoustic.
Ah,
just
that's
acoustic
great.
Guitar, him, and then he went into Aha.
Mm-hmm. Take On Me.
Take On Me.
Love that song.
Amazing. And the audience is singing along. But he's one balcony right below us. So I tried to get some video of it. And then I tried to Twitter it. And I said, you have too much. You have to edit it. I go, how the F do I edit the thing? And I'm saying to Marissa, how do I do it? She said, just clip that and that. And I go, never mind.
Yeah. You know what's cool, Pierre, is we're in a whole bunch of photos from the people down on the floor who were taking them.
Oh, really?
So the people who were near the stage who were looking up at Rivers. I'm going to pull one right now where you can like see us in the little balcony.
Wow, cool. It was a great show. And we didn't know if we'd get any access to the band. And then Brian Bell, the amazing guitarist and keyboardist and co-writer and producer, and he's really quite an important part of the band. He came by and sat with us for about 10 or 15 minutes towards the end of the program yesterday. And then a great show, MMR's opening night at the Met, yet another MMR 50th anniversary concert event last night.
Awesome, man. Excellent. All right, shall we get the letter of the day from you?
I don't
know. Or do you have something else you want to do?
I just wanted to mention how moved I was by the Christmas Cookie Cove. You know, you only encourage him when you do that.
What a touching performance, though, right?
If I'd had coffee, I would have done a spit take when you had to have written it, Steve.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. It's brilliant. It has your brilliance all over it. And I did laugh out loud when she comes into the cove and finds him. And then you hear her voice going, he's so dreamy. You know, his eyes look like bloodshot Christmas ornaments or whatever. And then that plus the drool down. And oh, my God.
Well, it's on the website, and we'll probably play it a few more times for the holidays. But, you know, we're fighting an uphill battle here because we're trying to get Casey in the spirit of the holidays.
I know.
He said that helped a little bit.
Well, it's like Christmas. It could be just like Christmas on the Block or, you know, any of those great legendary bits that that people request, like the Jaguar. Who knows?
We hope.
Nice.
Anyway. All right, now I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
T is in tinsel.
All right, and we are going to give away this tomorrow with one more letter. It's a four-pack of pit tickets for MMRBQ 2019 featuring Shinedown, Joan Jett, the Blackhearts, the Struts, Evanescence, Fozzy, Bad Wolves, the Glorious Sons, and Jackson's Local Shots artist, Saravo. Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion. And tickets are on sale Friday at 9 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Pavilion tickets start at $49.50. Lawn tickets, $25 early bird special. So you want to get those while supplies last. Complete details are available at WMMR.com. Sure you got some stuff planned for today, right?
We do. I heard you guys also earlier talking about why Casey didn't have the spirit. And I think, Kathy, it was you that said, Pierre hasn't decorated yet.
Yes.
And everything is going so fast. Is it just me, or is it everything just like in late speed?
To be honest, it seems to be. I'm actually able to enjoy it a little bit more because of the earlier campout.
Okay.
The campout took place all within November, right. So I feel that I'm actually getting to absorb and enjoy. Because as with Casey said earlier, I love this time of year, but you feel it's rushed.
I feel the whole year has been rushed.
Okay.
I mean, it just seemed like the barbecue was yesterday, and now we're talking about the next barbecue.
Right.
I mean, it really seems like things are in some kind of lightning speed. But at any rate, so we haven't decorated yet. So, and I know how important that is to Preston.
He looks forward to it so much.
And if I could get a picture of your face even now, the joy.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Just keep that crap in there.
Steve said, yeah, I had to climb over some of that last year or something like that. It was great.
There was some stuff that was randomly placed on the floor, and I say, you know, let's get it up and have it on the wall.
So we can see it.
So you can see it.
So are you decorating?
So you can kick it. I didn't even think about it. I thought, well, I got time. That's what I keep thinking. I got time, and I don't have any time.
Yeah, we got one more week next week, and then we're off.
Christmas miracle is a week from today, right?
Yeah.
Man. Do you think maybe we skip it this year?
No.
Okay, I just wondered. You
Scroojet?
You Scroojet? I would say this. Scroojet.
Scroojet. I was thinking like Scroojet.
Jet. No, right, Scroojet. Okay.
Oh, like a female screw.
Yes, right. A Scroojet.
Scroogina.
Like, so do you think? Are you going to do like a modified? Are you going to go a little bit more thematic, or what are you going to do?
No, I got to get some help.
Okay,
people have been saying that for years about me, but I really got to get some help.
You may want to be a little bit more. I think it might be kind of cool to sort of curate and be a little more discriminating.
Absolutely not. You're out of your mind.
All right,
I totally disagree, sir. Anyway, on the program today.
Oh, what if we had like somebody come in, like a decorator come
like
in,
professionally
and they,
do it?
Yeah,
and it was gorgeous.
Can I make that happen?
On the program today.
Her face right now is lit up like a little. It would be so
Yeah, let's have a little Martha Stewart Christmas, all the little dainty doilies.
Give me one here.
Do it in this room. Do your little doily.
She did. The basketball hoop back there. That's her.
Yes.
You know, do that in this room.
Yeah.
Grinchette and your doily ass.
Leave my rooms alone. Now, on the program today, a Christmas spirit block of Blink-182 for Tom DeLonge's birthday. They have a great Christmas song, by the way. Kinks will be in the workforce blocks. They have a great Christmas song. I was going to do a block of Christmas, but then you announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I think we'll go with some of the bands in the Hall of Fame that we'll do in the workforce blocks today. Cool. All right.
All good. The sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show are as follows. What a Crock. What a Crock Meals gift cards are great for the holidays. And you can visit whatacrockmeals.com for more information. The Preston and Steve Show also brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow, we'll give away that Word of the Week prize. We will have Vinny Brand in our studio.
We haven't seen Vinny in a long time.
Yeah, pillow fight?
And we'll do, we'll have a pillow fight, and we'll do more invites to the Christmas miracle. So that is it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, my friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
What is up with all this holiday traffic? You people do realize that Christmas comes the same time every year. Get your shit together, people.
Next message.
I got in a horrible accident, and I just won Weezer tickets on MNR. I won Weezer tickets.
I want Weezer tickets on MMR.
Next message.
What kind of psycho puts mustard on an Italian hoagie?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.